old man. What's going on here? What's that crazy man gonna do next?
I would like to exterminate a rabbit.
Hey there, where's my horse?
Welcome to another episode, another exciting episode, another drama-filled, chaotic, out-of-control episode of the Rockin' Comedy Show. Yes, the comedy show where we ask the question, Hey man, if you could get pregnant from anal sex, like, would you have a crack baby, a little shit, or maybe just an asshole?
You're fucking weird.
Well, what's the answer? yeah, running this show on 3 watts of power and bazooka gum today, so what does that mean? What does that mean? Well, we've got a great show. On this episode of the Rockin' Comedy Show, impressionist Larry G. Jones is going to be stopping by to say hi, and he's going to be promoting his show here in town. That's right.
Would anyone like to join me in a toast of failure?
No. Larry G. Jones... I'm losing my voice. I don't know why. Larry G. Jones is a great show. Doesn't have walls in his showroom, but we'll talk about that. Anyway, he has a great show here in Vegas. On our last show, not the best of, on our last show we had Rich Natoli, who does impressions. Larry G. Jones is billed as the man that has 1,002 voices. So we're going to have a lot of fun with him. Oh, let me get some water. Also on the show, I was going to take some time off from doing the 911 calls.
Call 911!
Because they just haven't been very funny. But while we were away, some good ones came in. So we have some 911 calls for you. Mad Mike, he's got some how-tos for you. I've got the news. And the show's going to be a little tight today because we're going to have a little fun with Larry G. Jones and to just kind of keep it from going over too long. Nick has bowed out from doing a Nick pick this week and possibly be back next week. Nick's not 100% sure if he really likes doing the Nick picks, and sometimes it's like pulling teeth to get him to do one. So maybe next week. He'll be back, but right now, not only do we have the news and the how-tos, but Weird Al Yankovic has released yet another new song.
Oh, I can't believe it. I'm so excited.
We're going to have that one for you. Plus, find out what me and Mike have been up to while we were off, besides causing chaos and pissing people off.
All right. Of course. It's always about you, isn't it?
Well, it's my show. It's called Crazy J's Rockin' Comedy Show with Mad Mike or something like that. I'm not quite sure. You can contact us online through email if you would like. It's pretty simple to do.
I'm very cautious about email.
You should be, with the viruses and spam and porn and, you know, advertisements to make your penis bigger. You can contact us online. I am at crazyj@comic.com. That's my email address. If you want to email Mad Mike, and why wouldn't you? You never know what the response is going to be. I'll send him a very serious email at work, and I get, like, bananas as my response. So I don't know. So email him. It's ihurtmyspleen@yahoo.com. ihurtmyspleen@yahoo.com. MySpace at CrazyJ13 if you want to find me on MySpace. CrazyJ over at Facebook. Don't Tase Me Bro is where you can find Mad Mike on MySpace. Junk McGee over at Facebook. Are you writing this down, people? And for those of you that Twitter, you can find me on Twitter. It's CrazyJ27. That's right, CrazyJ27. And speaking of Mad Mike, here is my little buddy. What's up, buddy?
Listen, man, hey, I just had this crazy thought. Like, what if to take your temperature... Okay, you know like when they take your temperature?
Right.
Like, they'll put the thermometer in your butt hole, right? Well, like, you know, like in like those ancient African tribes, you know, where they like dance and they are, you know, dark skinned and they have like spears and stuff.
Where is this going?
Well, you know how they have those like blow dart guns?
Mm-hmm.
What if they like just made you like bend over and like blow darted it into your butthole? You know, like from a distance.
It might go too far up.
What if that was like your call to be like you know they have like tests for like a warrior? What if that was like your test for a medicine man?
Come on, what is this?
To blow dart.
I don't know where you come up with this stuff.
30 feet, a thermometer into somebody's bunghole without like destroying their record.
Make it like an Olympic event.
Yeah, it could be like in the next gay Olympics.
That's ridiculous.
So what's up, man?
What's going on?
I don't know. When are we gonna start the show, man?
We're in it.
You're on the air right now?
Yeah, we're always.
Hey, what's up, everybody?
let's see. Well, we were away because we took last week off.
All kinds of things happened.
Yeah, some crazy stuff has happened. You and I actually did a fun little trip to Oatman and Lake Havasu and
Laughlin.
Where I got Laughlin.
Pushed by a donkey.
You did. That ass was pushing you around.
Dude, he was, dude. What the hell? He just walked right up to me.
We posted the pictures already on MySpace, and there's a great picture that we saw. I saw it before we took the picture. I was like, Mike, look down.
Yeah.
And he's like leaning up against this barrel, and then there it is, right on the side of it in big green letters, pickles. So I was like, Mike, we need to get a picture of you.
Plan that any better.
Yeah.
We really couldn't.
And then it says Navajo Tacos on the next building. So yeah. It's like, what are the odds that we have a pickle picture and a taco picture?
Right,
it's
next to the glory hole.
Yeah. And we've just had some fun. I mean, celebrated my birthday. We went out to LAX and we went out to Playboy Club. Had 2 hours of sleep and then just drove out to this tour.
That was so brutal.
But it was a fun night.
We did have fun. You know though, like we totally like made up our own tour though, because we were like the only two for most of the tour. So like. We're, like, in somebody else's swimming pool. You know, we're just sneaking in. They're like this, you know.
Yeah, we didn't care. We were having a good time.
We were like, they're like, here's the London Bridge. We were like,
hey,
that's nice, but it's hot.
It's 120 outside.
Yeah.
I'm going to go hit the pool.
You think we're going to hit the pool instead?
They're like, you can swim down at the beach. Yeah, we got that pool over there.
To give you, like, ham sandwiches to eat for lunch. But we talked our driver into taking us to a Chinese buffet.
No, actually, he talked
us. Yeah, he talked us.
He thought, you guys can eat this sandwich, or I can take you to this really cool all-you-can-eat Chinese buffet. And we're like, all right.
That sounds way better than a fucking sandwich. But you know it's going to be nasty anyway. It's made. No, this is the thing. He told us that their sandwiches. This tour company doesn't even make their own sandwiches.
None of them do. None of the tour companies do.
There's a company that does nothing but fucking make sandwiches for other companies. Their whole thing is to prepare food. It is a mass-produced sandwich. That creeps me out.
Why? They're fresh. They make them the day of.
It's something like I can understand that. Like, I mean, I could see, like, you know, you kill a cow and you chop them up and you send them out, right? This is a sandwich. You know what I mean? Like, no care. It was like, you go to a deli, you know, they take their, you know, there's love in their eyes, you know, when they're putting on that mayonnaise, you know?
Right.
These people, they don't care. There's probably some Hindu guy named...
You don't know if they don't care.
Named, you know...
You don't know.
Named Jafar.
You don't know.
Who is making my sandwich because he couldn't figure out how to turn a computer on, you know?
But you don't know.
Or his English is so bad he cannot even do... He cannot even answer phone.
But anyway, it was fun, you know, it was a good time.
Oh, hell yes. And we went out to the nightclubs, and we went to Lax.
Yes.
And we went to
Playboy Club. I'm really becoming a fan of the Playboy Club.
It was nice.
I really like that club.
I was able to dance with two black chicks. I looked like an Oreo.
Yes, we have that picture posted, too.
That was awesome.
So, you know, good times.
Heck yeah.
The ending of the night for me kind of sucked, but hopefully we'll fix that all up.
Oh, did you run into a vacuum cleaner?
No.
No?
No. That would have been probably a little more enjoyable.
Yeah, a little more. Well, yeah. It depends on the circumstance. You know, I tell my mom never interrupt me when I'm vacuuming my room. So, I can understand that.
Yeah. Anyway, we got some 911 calls. That's right. I said it. We got some 911 calls because you love them.
Call 911!
Yeah. If you're ready for them, I was like, we talked before we took last week off that I was like, you know, the last batch of 911 calls we played, they just weren't that funny. You know?
No.
You know, and maybe we should take a week off. And then we took a week off, but like 9 to 11 of new 911 calls popped up and they're like freaking brilliant. This first one, apparently a lady calls 911 because her neighbors are bothering her with a laser beam.
Interesting.
Yeah.
911. You know, they say it at the back of my property needs to be stopped.
What stuff needs to be stopped?
These people bother harming me on my property.
What people are bothering you?
The people I used to live next door that moved out.
What are they doing?
8-1. You should see the hole we put in the side of my foot again.
They put a hole in the side of your foot?
Yes, they did.
How do they do that?
They have a laser beam out here. They pop electricity and laser beams all the time.
They're shooting laser beams out here?
Yes. They've been hitting me in the ass, too. Listen, I want these people arrested because they cannot harm my body.
What kind of equipment are they using as they pop at it?
Like I say, they have a laser beam.
Oh.
They have a thing that they had around the leg of the table that has a small bulbs on it. They attach it, and that's how they pop electricity around.
He said they have small bulbs or balls around it?
Bulbs. B-U-L-B-S.
Oh. And then that has a laser beam attached to it, and that's what they're shooting at your foot?
Yes, they've been hitting me in the ass, too. Sitting on my table, I reported that they've been hitting me in the ass. They've been hitting my knees.
Yeah.
I mean, how they walk, because he's not that hung. You see the size of the hole that they put in the side of my foot. When I go to bed at night, they keep shooting that beam at me while I'm in my bed. Hit my foot that I can't even go to bed right away.
Yeah.
Go to sleep right away.
So there's no place in the house you can go that the beams can't reach you?
No, there isn't. I'm sitting in the family room. I'm in my bedroom, and at night it's dark out at night. And
your neighbors are doing this to you?
They used to be normal. They moved in to cause trouble. They moved out. They're still causing the trouble.
So they don't live with you anymore?
They never did live with me.
Oh, but they live next
door. I don't know the people. They moved in next door to cause harm to me for that tramp that was after my husband.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Okay, because they use laser beams on him, too?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
They don't listen to nobody.
Okay.
They're on drugs. And they think they're going to be wealthy.
Okay. Well, we will tell them to stop it, okay?
Oh, I'm arrested because I have my assault and battery charges.
Okay.
You know what assault and battery is?
Yes, I sure do.
Well, the police department is supposed to arrest people for assault and battery.
Okay, well, we will. We'll go out there and look for them.
Yeah, we'll make sure you come out here. I'll arrest them.
All right, thank you.
Oh, my.
It's like, where do they get it from?
Laser beams. She must have just watched some freaking Austin Powers.
This one's really short, but it's fun.
All right.
911 emergency.
Yes, I'd like to know the day and date today.
I'm sorry, you what?
The day and date today.
Okay, do you have an emergency?
Yes, I want to know the day and date today. That's all I want to know. Don't talk about it any further.
You just want to know what today is.
Yeah.
Well, today's Saturday.
And it's the 23rd?
23rd.
Okay, thank you, ma'am.
Yeah, you're so welcome.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
He wanted the day
and date.
Yeah.
You gotta love that.
My name is Mel Gibson, and I've been transformed into the future.
Right?
Is now on emergency.
Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, listen. I'm out here at the X4.
Uh-huh.
And I need a taxi cab. I'm with the carnival.
Sir, this is the 911 emergency line.
Ma'am?
This is 911.
But every time I call the operator, I can't get no operator.
Sir, this is an emergency phone line. We can't call a taxi cab for you on this line.
Well, what did that mean to an operator?
To the police department?
To an operator.
Zero.
Okay.
Zero.
These are just real short, but they're great.
911.
Yeah, I don't know if I need, emergency, but who do I talk to if somebody just walked off with all your laundry at the laundromat?
Cost $2,000.
Thanks.
Uh-huh.
Won't do something what at the laundromat?
Somebody stole your laundry. This one is also pretty short and also...
Does it involve clowns?
It might. It might be what's in the bag.
911.
Good morning.
Hi.
I'm a retired detective.
Okay.
Across the street from me, there is somebody trapped in a bag or something.
In a bag?
Yeah.
Is it on the lawn?
No, it's across from the garage. I'm looking at it right now, but I can't figure it out.
Is it small?
No, big.
A sleeping bag or a plastic bag?
Well, it looks like a bed sheet or something.
Okay, we'll be out in a minute. Thank you.
So, I think it's a bed sheet. Like I said, I like to save the best ones for last. And this one, guy calls in, he's got a legitimate problem.
Oh, my gosh.
But apparently, the lines are crossed.
Uh-oh.
And so, there seems to be a problem. Here it is, it's great.
911.
Yeah, no problem. My central station alarm company called you 35 minutes ago.
Uh-huh.
And I called 20 minutes ago, and my partner got down to our store 10 minutes after the alarm was called in, and no police has shown up, even though he did discover it was a false alarm. Your alarm. I beg your pardon? Your alarm. Who's this?
This is the police department.
Wrong.
Check your alarm.
Hey, that isn't the police department saying that.
Wow.
I don't know who that was.
Wow.
I was just as surprised as you.
Wow, that was really strange.
I don't know where that came from.
Neither do I. Hold on a second. You should have heard that on the phone. Somebody cut it on the line and said, "Shoot him off." That's bizarre.
It sure is.
Wow. Huh. You have that on tape, I assume.
Yes, it is on tape.
I wonder if that could be traced. I doubt it. Too short.
Yeah.
You. Who's this?
You're a punk. You check your own f***ing alarm. Don't be wasting the taxpayers' money.
Hey, you want to take it on me?
Stay on the line.
Tell me who you are, man.
Go kiss my ass, you punk.
Hey, tell me who you are. We'll take
your ass. Well, go check your own alarm.
Hey, who are you, man?
All the taxpayers' money up the ass. Go check your own. Get your own security guard over there and check your own f***ing business.
Come on, man. I'll take you on. What's your name?
Who's this?
I got a call.
Hello?
Hello. This is the police department.
Wow. Hello.
Yeah, what can I do for you?
I was just speaking to a lady.
Yeah, I'm still here. This other guy comes on the phone and saying all this stuff and saying he's the police department.
Oh, well, no, he's not. We are. Okay?
I don't know where that's coming from.
She is, too.
Yeah, she's with the police department, too, sir.
He's well, who was on the line?
We can't tell you. I don't know.
This is really strange.
Yeah, well, wires got crossed or something.
He just keeps
well,
coming in.
Well, my station called in an alarm 35 minutes ago, now 40 minutes ago.
Uh-huh.
My partner got down there 10 minutes later. No police have showed up.
Okay.
And now I'll take care of it now.
He did discover that it was a false alarm, but, you know,
sir?
If it was a real thing, I'm kind of worried.
Can you hang on? This guy will handle it from here, okay?
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. Boy, that's strange.
Yeah, it really is strange. I don't know what the call to that is.
I bet you it's the weather.
Well,
probably what set our alarm off also.
Yeah, but... Jeez!
Yeah.
Okay, let me check for the call. Okay?
Right. My partner did discover definitely it is a false alarm, but I'm kind of worried why nobody was rolled on it.
Right. That sounds unusual, too.
Yeah.
Is that him on there again?
I don't know.
What is it? Police department?
Boy, this line must be really crossed.
It must be.
Not the police department.
This is the police department.
I have 14 units, and one of my tenants just called there's a bat outside her window.
Okay, we'll send somebody out.
I've had a hip operation. I can't go down. I'm in bed.
Okay, you stay where you are. I'll send the police out there.
I appreciate it right now, dear.
Okay.
I
sure am.
I'm sorry.
No
I don't
problem.
Know what to tell you.
Hey, we'll all go to CTE tomorrow and race in hell.
I guess so. They said it's possibly a bad alarm. Is it?
Right. They just finished installing it today, as a matter of fact.
I...
Your alarm. Your alarm. Your alarm. Wow.
I don't know.
Well, I wish you a lot of luck.
Okay, thank you.
Then thanks very much for the help.
Okay.
Okay, right. Take care then.
Uh-huh.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Your alarm.
Fuck your alarm. That's like the best one. So we're going to end the 911 call today with that one there. There's so much chaos. I don't know what it is, sir. I have no idea.
I think the lines are crossed.
Well, coming up here very, very shortly, Larry G. Jones is going to be here. Looking forward to meet him. He's got the DVD.
A couple more voices.
Got the DVD. You were from Rich Natoli.
Yeah.
News about Rich Natoli since his appearance here on the show.
Yeah.
He's dead. No, I'm just kidding. he's actually, as of August 1st, we'll be moving from the Harmon Theater inside Planet Hollywood to the Bobby Slayton Room at the Tropicana. Hey, and you're going to love it. It's 2 o'clock. But congratulations on that. That's awesome. So good job. Good job, Rich Natoli. And we have Larry G. Jones coming on. He's got a DVD out that you can buy at the show. He's got a couple of CDs. We'll be talking about that, plus find out a little bit more about him, how long he's been performing, how many voices he actually does, how tall he really is, and is it true his showroom doesn't have walls?
Is that the truth?
We're going to find out. We got all these questions. But this is a pretty topical story that came out while we were on break. There's a guy by the name of Dave Carroll who apparently boarded United Airlines.
Right.
He's
the guy who was hiding the bomb.
No. He got on United Airlines, found out that they were not treating his Taylor guitar oh so nicely. They, in fact, were throwing it around, and they busted his $3,500 guitar.
$3,500?
$3,500 guitar.
No wonder why he's so pissed off.
And it says, of course, it says... Dave Carroll, a Canadian musician who says United Airlines baggage handler smashed his favorite Taylor guitar, and he changed planes at O'Hare. As Carroll and the rest of the band sat on the plane, another passenger saw the baggage handlers tossing guitars to one another and shouted, "My God, they're throwing guitars out there."
Oh, man.
Carroll said the bass of his guitar was smashed. He tried to reason with United for months to get them to pay the $1,200 repair cost. But he got the runaround, and ultimately, they wouldn't. So Carroll did what he does best. He wrote a song about it called United Breaks Guitars. The YouTube video Carroll made to go along with the song may be the biggest hit of his career, and it's really worth a watch. He actually promised to make 2 more songs and videos about his debacle with United Airlines.
Awesome.
So we got the song, and as soon as the song follows, we have Dave Carroll on hold. So if you haven't heard this song, it's all over MySpace and Facebook and YouTube. And his goal was actually to reach 1 million, I believe, that we'll ask him when he's on the line, 1 million hits within a year. And he actually did it almost 3 million in 10 days.
Wow. So, hey, well, while we go watch this, I'm going to go get some, I'm going to go buy some lemon juice really quick.
Okay. Well, here it is. This is United Breaks Guitars.
I flew United Airlines on my way to Nebraska. The plane departed Halifax, connecting in Chicago's O'Hare. While on the ground, a passenger said from the seat behind me, "My God, they're throwing guitars out there." The band and I exchanged a look, best described as terror, at the action on the tarmac, and knowing whose projectiles these would be. So before I left Chicago, I alerted 3 employees who showed complete indifference towards me. United, United, you broke my Taylor guitar. United. Should have flown with someone else or gone by car. 'Cause United breaks guitars. When we landed in Nebraska, I confirmed what I suspected. My Taylor had been the victim of a vicious act of malice at old. So began a year-long saga of pass the buck, don't ask me, and I'm sorry, sir, your claim can go nowhere. So do all the airlines people from New York to New Delhi, including kind Miss Earlwig, who says the final word from them is no. us go. United, United, you broke my Taylor guitar. United, United, some big help you are. You broke it, you should fix it. You're liable just to admit it. I should have flown with someone else or gone by car. 'Cause United breaks guitars. Well, I was and I'll never fly with you again. 'Cause maybe to save the world I probably could, but that won't likely happen. And if it did, I wouldn't bring my luggage, 'cause you'd just go and break it into a thousand pieces, just like you broke my heart when United race guitars. United, United, you broke my Taylor guitar. United, United, some big help you are. You broke it, you should fix it. You're liable just to admit it. I should have flown with someone else or gone by car. 'Cause United breaks guitars. Yeah, United breaks guitars. Yeah, United breaks guitars.
Well, on the phone line here at the Rockin' Comedy Show, we just got done talking about this story. It's the man behind the video and the band. It's Dave Carroll. How you doing?
I'm doing great, Dave.
Song and video are amazing.
Thanks, man. It's been quite a ride this last 10 days.
Now, is it effective?
It's been effective in what way?
Well, I know that I heard, and I don't know how true this is. You obviously will have the answer. I know that they've apologized, but they want to use the video as a training tool.
Oh, I see. Yeah, they did apologize. They've offered some compensation, but I explained that I stopped looking for compensation back in November, and I'm not angry anymore. I'm through with that, but I just wanted to share the song and the story with the world, and so far the response has been overwhelming.
Yeah, I mean, you had like over 2 million hits on YouTube. That's unbelievable.
3.2 million now.
Just that quick from the last time I checked. I mean, it's amazing. It's getting out everywhere. I mean, I've seen it on Facebook. I've seen it posted on MySpace. I've seen it everywhere. So,
interesting thing is I'm getting all sorts of traffic to my website that introduces all the people that have seen this video to what I do on a daily basis and what I've been doing recording with my band Sons of Maxwell in the last 15 years.
Right. And so, I mean, that all in all, that's awesome. Now, at what point did you decide, how did you get the idea to do the video, to think that was going to be a way to resolve it or come to closure with it, or was it just because
with the customer service agent that I had about 10 spirited emails with her, and finally she said, "This will be the last email. You're not going to get any satisfaction from United. I'm sorry." But, and so at that point, I just responded and said, "Well, I'm going to write three songs about, I'm a songwriter, and I'm going to write three songs about your airline and put them up on YouTube with videos and try and get a million hits in a year." So there was really no thought put into it. It just sort of came out. And then I found myself having to figure out how I was going to actually pull it off.
Now, did she care when you said you were going to make videos and stuff? She just didn't care?
No, I said, "You don't have to respond to this video. I will keep you tabbed on the progress, and when they're out, I'll let you know, and you can, maybe together we can get to a million sooner than we would have otherwise."
And you did.
Yeah, we sure did.
Well, like I said,
it went to a million in 2 days.
I mean, it's sad that it happened, but it's a catchy tune, man.
It's I'm getting comments from people that said they never liked country and other country fans and other people that are country fans that appreciate it. And I'm also getting comments from people that aren't big on the song itself, but they love the spirit of it, and so they're checking out my website and getting into the other music that I do.
And I mean, and that was the thing, is there's been equal comments that, you know, side with you and sided with United. Some people saying that you should have, you know, not checked the guitar, you should have brought it on the plane with you. But then again, you don't expect people to be tossing your guitar around outside either, you know.
Well, the comments that when I've heard people say I should have brought it on board, most people would agree that they really don't like you doing that. And I didn't know that was an option. And in fact, they tell you it's not. Legally, I understand now that you can, and you can, if you have the paperwork, you can show them how it says that you can, but they don't like letting you think you can.
Exactly. But I mean, it's pretty catchy, and you said you've got you're going to do three, and I looked at the website, and you kind of have the ideas for the second one, or?
The second one was written actually a couple of months ago, and I've performed it a few times, and it goes over great. If anything, it's more catchy than the first one. It's not country, but it's sort of a little bit of a Beatles-esque thing, but it stays in your brain.
Yeah, it's definitely good. Well, it's really bad that it happened. That happened, but you're making worldwide headlines about it, so that's kind of good about it.
Well, we may actually be visiting Las Vegas twice in the next year.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
We had two offers to play two separate shows in Vegas, so we might be nearer than you might have thought.
From this particular song?
It completely, yeah. At,
wow.
The Musicians Union, the International Musicians Union, have an annual conference in Las Vegas, and they would like me to go up there next June and perform this.
Well, that's amazing.
Yeah.
So. Well, I just wanted to get you on the show quick and just talk about it, find out what's going on with the song, and glad to see you're having success with it.
Yeah, we're having a great time and looking forward to song two. I just had a meeting today with the production company that we shot song one with, and we were laughing around thinking all the ideas we could go with this one too. So.
Well, that's great, man. Well, I wish you the best, continued success. I've heard some of the other songs that your band has done, and it's amazing.
I appreciate the time today.
And do you have a MySpace or anything?
Yep. It's if you go to DaveCarrollMusic.com, there's a link that will take you to there and all sorts of interesting places.
Awesome. So, guys, check it out, DaveCarrollMusic.com. Thank you for being on the show and sharing us your experience with United. And the song, again, is amazing.
Red carpet people at masquerade balls, spending their fortunes in opulent halls, sipping on champagne and loving it all. Investing in mansions and piles of things, driving to places in stretch limousines, building an empire, a kingdom for kings. They revel in their money, it's best that they do, 'cause it'd crush them if they only knew that I had the love of a woman like you. Cynical people with hearts turned to stone, jaded by passions that cut to the bone, broken and guarded, they walk here alone. Bitten so often, they're shy beyond words, guided in love by the lessons they've learned. Cold recollections of crashes and burns. And they wallow in their anger, it's sad that they do, but it crashes. they only knew that I had the love of a woman like you.
That is the son of Maxwell's, Dave Carroll's band, the guy that wrote United Breaks Guitars.
Yeah, sorry, man, it took me a while to get back. I got the lemon juice.
I don't know why you need it.
I need it.
You missed an interview because you needed lemon juice.
Yeah, it wasn't me. It was the wombat.
Yeah, here we go with the wombat. There's no wombat.
It took my lemon juice. It's gone.
The wombat is gone.
Do you notice I don't have my fucking lemon juice? I spent $3.99. That wombat just cost me. It smells like lemons in the elevator now.
Great.
Kind of like pine tall.
Nice. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back,
my elbow hurts.
It's time to celebrate a holiday.
All right.
It comes once a year, and it's this week.
Oh, dude.
Well, grab your boot.
Hello, car of teenagers. If you don't mind, I'm only going to broadcast this out of the speaker on the passenger side so we can talk without the driver listening in. Okay, now that we're alone, we can talk about your friend's driving. It's okay, he can't hear us. Now, I'd never say this to his face, but he might be the worst driver in the history of the world. You should say something, something witty. Make a joke about the airbag or something. Hearses are funny, too. You could make a joke about hearses. I better say something to the driver real quick so he doesn't get suspicious that we're talking about him. Still talking to the passenger. Not about you at all. Just going to be one more minute. He is totally going to get you killed.
Find other interesting ways to speak up against reckless driving by visiting our website at speakuporelse.com. Because it doesn't matter what you say, just say something. Brought to you by the Ad Council and SpeakUpOrElse.com.
Hi, this is Paul McCartney on behalf of Rad. If you're drinking, you can't drive my car or any car. And remember, don't drink and drive. It's just not worth it.
Public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
This heavyweight bout is about to begin. The challenger wears white trunks with a blue stripe, and the champ is wearing, looks like an examination gown from the doctor's office. And from the back, we can... Ooh, that's not pretty. Champ, what's with the crazy getup?
I've got to take care of my family.
Yeah, so?
Well, when you love your family, you got to go in and get those important medical screens. A lot of potentially deadly diseases can be treated if you catch them in time.
So you wear the examination gown because...
Because I'm a real man. Real men take care of their families and get those tests. Real men wear gowns.
Okay, champ, good luck. Here we go. The champ's not wasting any time. It's over. This fight is over. Champ, you barely broke a sweat. Any words for your fans out there?
Remember, go to AHRQ.gov for a list of the tests they need to get and when to get them.
What was that web address again?
AHRQ.gov. And remember, real men wear gowns.
Go to AHRQ.gov. This message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AHRQ, and the Ad Council.
This is Weird Al Yankovic, and you're listening to Crazy J.
Hey, everybody. It's the Rockin' Comedy Show. I am your host, Crazy J. Mad Mike! I don't know where he's at. I think he's cleaning up lemon juice or whatever in the freaking elevator. Oh, man, we got to get rid of that wombat. You are listening to the Rockin' Comedy Show. Here it is. It's a brand new song from Weird Al.
Starting every high school play, blew every drama teacher away. Graduated first in my class at Juilliard. Took every acting workshop I could, and I dreamed of Hollywood. While I read my Uta Hagen and studied the Bard. The boards and paid my dues and got phenomenal rave reviews. I knew the world was gonna love me without a doubt. I was sure that Tarantino would be calling me on my phone, and he'd even visit shoot me for Rolling Stone. But the years have come and gone, and I'm sorry to say that's not the way that it's all worked out. I'm a true the Jungle Cruise ride, Shiva Dan is the name, and I'm doing 34 shows every day, and every time it's the same. Look at all the headphones and wiggle in their ears, just like they've done for the last 50 years. Now I'm laughing at my own joke, but I'm crying inside, cause I'm working on the Jungle Cruise ride. Critics, they used to say I was the new Olivier. Thought I'd be the toast of Sundance, or maybe Cannes. Ah, but don't bother trying to IMDb me. The only place you might possibly see me is riding my little boat around Adventure Land. It ain't exactly what I planned, but I'm a true cruise ride, Shiva Dan is her name, and I'm doing 34 shows every day, and every time it's the same. I would have killed if I'd been as Speed the Clown, but what's the difference, that's all behind me now, cause I'm paying the rent, and I'm swallowing my pride, and I'm working on the Jungle Cruise ride. I should be there on Broadway, and I'm dead in 12 angry men. But instead I'm here telling these lame jokes again and again and again and again and again. Time is the same. Look at all the people that we need.
dragon lifeless with an unprivileged tail. I'm the beggar on the corner who no one's paradise. I'm the child that never learned to read, cause no one's paying time.
Teenagers, if you don't mind, I'm only going to broadcast this out of the speaker on the passenger side so we can talk without the driver listening in. Okay, now that we're alone, we can talk about your friend's driving. It's okay, he can't hear us. Now, I'd never say this to his face, but he might be the worst driver in the history of the world. You should say something, something witty. Make a joke about the airbag or something. Hearses are funny, too. You could make a joke about hearses. I better say something to the driver real quick so he doesn't get suspicious that we're talking about him. Still talking to the passenger. Not about you at all. Just going to be one more minute. He is totally going to get you killed.
Find other interesting ways to speak up against reckless driving by visiting our website at speakuporelse.com. Because it doesn't matter what you say, just say something. Brought to you by the Ad Council and speakuporelse.com.
This heavyweight bout is about to begin. The challenger wears white trunks with a blue stripe, and the champ is wearing, looks like an examination gown from the doctor's office. And from the back, we can... Ooh, that's not pretty. Champ, what's with the crazy getup?
I've got to take care of my family.
Yeah, so?
Well, when you love your family, you got to go in and get those important medical screens. A lot of potentially deadly diseases can be treated if you catch them in time.
So you wear the examination gown because...
Because I'm a real man. Real men take care of their families and get those tests. Real men wear gowns.
Okay, champ. Good luck. Here we go. The champ's not wasting any time. It's over. This fight is over. Champ, you barely broke a sweat. Any words for your fans out there?
Remember, go to AHRQ.gov for a list of the tests they need to get and when to get them.
What was that web address again?
AHRQ.gov. And remember, real men wear gowns.
Go to AHRQ.gov. This message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AHRQ, and the Ad Council.
Ranger Station, Ranger speaking.
Yeah, hi. I'd like to report a bear sighting.
Location?
In the forest, near the side of the road.
No need for alarm, sir. The forest is where bears live.
But this was no ordinary bear.
No ordinary bear?
Yeah, one second I'm having a smoke taken in the view. Next thing I know, I am face to face with Smokey Bear.
Let me guess, Smokey had a tip for you.
He did. He must have seen me toss my cigarette on the ground. He told me never to do that because it only takes one spark to start a wildfire.
He's a smart bear. Did you know that 9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by humans? That means 9 out of 10 wildfires can be prevented.
That's what Smokey said. I had no idea.
That's why Smokey's famous, and you're not.
Good point.
Get your Smokey on. If you see someone in danger of starting a wildfire, step in and make a difference, because 9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by humans. Brought to you by Smokey Bear, the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Only you can prevent wildfires. His name,
Mad Mike.
And you can contact him online at ihurtmyspleen@yahoo.com. Look for him as Junk McGee on Facebook and MySpace.
I don't have my own theme song, so I'm making mine up. Go ahead, keep talking.
Stupid.
Where am I at? Where am I at, Jay?
You're on my... You're on, shut up. This is why the show runs long. Because you just keep doing this and it throws me off.
I'm just making up my own theme song.
Well, you don't need your own theme song. Theme songs are at the beginning of the show, not in the middle.
Well, this is the beginning.
No, it is not.
What are you talking about?
Shut up. We do have a holiday to celebrate this week. It's your favorite holiday. It's my favorite holiday.
It wouldn't have anything to do with all beating the ass out of a wombat, would it?
No, but I see that you brought the right boots.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, let's do it.
Cheer. What a magical time of year. Howdy ho, it's Weasel Stomping Day. Put your biking helmet on. Spread that mayonnaise on the lawn. Don't you know it's Weasel Stomping Day? All little girls and boys love that wonderful crunching noise.
You'll know what this day's about
when you stomp a weasel's guts right out. So come along and have a laugh. Snap their weaselly spines in half. Grab your boots and stomp your cares away. Hip hip hooray, it's Weasel Stomping Day. People up and down the street, crushing weasels beneath their feet.
Why we do it, who can say?
But it's such a festive holiday, so let the stomping fun begin. Bash their weaselly skulls right in. It's tradition that makes it okay. Hey everyone, it's Weasel Stomping.
We'll have some fun on Weasel Stomping.
Put down your gun, it's Weasel Stomping Day. Hip hip hooray, it's Weasel Stomping Day.
Weasel Stomping Day.
Against the mold, without a doubt, singled out, the only way I know. Cause I wanna be the majority. I don't need your authority. Down with the moral majority. Cause I wanna be the majority. Steps out of the light, like a ship runs from the earth, marching out of sight. My love is now the only one.
you insane?
Insane!
Thank you.
Welcome one of our very special guests.
He's so nice to me.
He's nice to you. He's nicer to you than Bobby Slayton.
Yeah, a lot nicer.
But give it up for Larry G. Jones. Yeah, the man of 1,002 voices. And he's going to do them right now in 30 seconds.
Go! That was it.
I choked.
Awesome.
It was done on that dog spectrum, yeah. You know, so you didn't even hear
it. Wow, it was so good.
Yeah.
My favorite was the Dolly Parton one.
That was good.
That was good.
Yeah.
You surprised I picked that one up?
Yeah.
He even got his breast to inflate.
Yeah,
real while quick. Doing it, yeah.
It was quick. Yeah, it was awesome.
Yeah, let's get that little, you know, little package of a thing.
Yeah.
Just turn a little thing.
So,
air pressure hose. Cartridge.
So how long have you been doing this show?
I've been singing for about 25 years, and then I started doing this show, really, about a year or two before I moved out here. But I've been singing in bands and did a lot of studio recording, doing sound alikes and stuff.
How did the voiceover stuff, I mean, how did the, like, the impression stuff come out?
That happened because I answered an ad. I was living in L.A. It's an acting magazine, Callback Magazine. It said, sound alikes wanted, send in your tape. Somebody brought it to me and said, hey, you got to send them a tape because you sound like people. I'm like, all right, you know, because I kind of knew I could kind of do that.
Now, did you
never
take
thought
that
about
as
it as a job?
Yeah, did you take that at first as a compliment or, God, that guy's an asshole telling me I don't even sound like myself. I sound like other people.
No, it was just when I sang their songs. We had original tunes too. So
oh, that's
I had
cool.
my own deal with that.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah.
That's like,
yes.
I sound like
it's kind of, you know, it's kind of neat. I sent him a tape of me singing Elton John and Phantom of the Opera.
Oh,
I didn't
wow.
know what they wanted. I just said, and I didn't even know how to. I didn't know how to make a demo tape. I gave them the entire song.
Good dichotomy.
6.5 minutes of Phantom of the Opera. You know, but they called me up and they asked me, "Can you do Hootie and the Blowfish?"
And only do 30
what?
Seconds.
30 Hootie and the Blowfish.
Hootie and the Blowfish. Blowfish.
Can you do Hootie and the Blowfish?
I can.
Wow.
I did him several times back when he was hot. You know, like yeah. 95, 94.
Yeah.
We did some parodies on him. And, that was, but that's how I got started, though.
What?
This is with him. And they said, hey, that's really good. Who else can you do? I said, I'm like, I don't know. They said, well, try this. And they said, try this. And they called me up, you know, hey, can you do this one? Hold on a second. Let me call you back. And I go listen to the tune and go, yeah, I'm in.
Nice.
And that started working for them a lot. It was a Premier Radio Network. I started out as Cutler Comedy, then they got swallowed up by Premiere, which is one of the biggest, I think they have something to do with Sirius Radio and all those kind of things.
Wow, that's cool.
Yeah, so they distribute it to all these other radio stations for morning shows. It's comedy, you know, Bob and Tom kind of stuff.
Right.
And that's what we do, those kind of parodies and stuff. And then started writing for them.
Did you do any stuff for Bob Rivers or anything like that?
I haven't. No, he's got some good stuff,
he's
though.
He's got some good stuff. That guy's amazing.
It's a Christmas CD.
Yeah, his Christmas CDs are the best. Yeah, I think I'd probably play more of his Christmas CDs than any other comedy Christmas album at Christmas time.
Uh-huh.
He's got six CDs. This guy's unbelievable.
Uh-huh. I've done a piece of that one, a couple in those... on the chipmunks roasting on an open fire.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Chipmunks roasting on an open fire. Red hot skewers up their nose.
Yeah, he's awesome.
And the other one, is it walking around in women's underwear?
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah, that guy's amazing.
My mom likes that song.
Yeah?
Weird.
The song, or does she like men walking around in women's underwear?
Maybe a little bit of both.
I mean, she's into WoW. We learned that last week.
Yeah, she's wild and crazy, my mom. I took her to the gym on Monday. I got her an iPod. It's pink. She thought it was the craziest thing she'd ever done seen. She loves it to death. She's like, what is it? What do I do with it? Oh, my God, it holds music? So she's really digging it. It's ridiculous, yeah.
Oh, man.
So with your show, at the let's plug it. It's every night except for Thursday.
Every night except for Thursday, Friday, Saturday. So we're there during the week. Monday, Tuesday. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Yeah, we're four nights over there.
And nobody's in your place when you're gone?
No, and no. On the other nights, they now have a country show. It's called Nashville Nights, and it's a country tribute show.
Hmm.
It's like three impersonators going back and forth doing, you know, whatever country's greatest hits. You know, there's a guy that does Rascal Flatts.
Oh, wow.
And yeah,
so you guys got a pretty impressive voice.
Yeah, this guy's got a great voice. His name's Michael Cagle. Yeah, he's good. Yeah, that's a workout right there. See.
Yeah, he's no joke.
Yeah,
how long is your show?
Show is about hour and 30 minutes. Sometimes an hour 40.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, that's not bad at all. And how many voices do you think you go through the span of your show?
During the show, we do about 75.
Yeah. And if I were to see the show and then go see it the next week, would it be the same show? Or do you change it up? Are you spicy?
There'd be maybe some changes, but mostly the same.
You find what's worked.
Yeah. Yeah, and I've got so much stuff that works now. It's just like, well, I want to take that out, you know, but I want to change something because everything's working. It's like, well, why change it? It's working.
Is there any voice that you're tired of doing because you've done it so long?
Like Madonna?
Like Madonna. I don't do Madonna.
No? Can you do any women's voices, though?
Yeah, I do Natalie Cole, Minnie Riperton, Patti LaBelle.
Holy smokes.
Yeah, he does them during the show. It's pretty awesome.
Whoa, that's crazy.
Yeah. Oh, also not in the show. So something else I could add back in I did at one point was Anita Baker.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. That was a good one. And what's the guy that does the puppets? Remember the one?
Carrie Feeder?
Yeah, and he did that thing for, can't remember the name of the... Adelaide, my love, and not the only one. I don't even know what the name of the artist is. I forget.
Is it Macy Gray?
No, sounds kind of like her, though.
I know, a little bit.
Yeah, but it's like Macy Gray 50 years ago.
50 years ago, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't remember her name. I know who you're talking about. I don't know her name.
Yeah. Etta James?
Etta James.
Etta James, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Think about it. It's up there.
It's up there somewhere. Rolling around.
I was up for that. I was going to go. They had me scheduled to go to L.A. that year for America's Got Talent. And then they called me back.
That Carrie Feeder was up?
Called me back and said, well, you've been bumped. We got somebody else, you know, kind of doing the same kind of thing. Yeah.
Because
he did it with puppets. Yeah, so that was a little more intriguing
to them. Oh, that's so... He doesn't have puppets. He just sits there.
You know, the first season of America's Got Talent, they had Nathan Burton on. And the thing that bothered me about it was you're going to win $1 million, and you're going to get a show in Vegas.
He already had it
at the V Theater.
Right.
And they were playing Nathan Burton commercials during America's Got Talent. Mm-hmm. I was like, that's horrible. Like, that's an hour-long, just promotion for him.
Yeah.
He didn't care if he won or not. He was getting the exposure.
Right. That's what it's about, man.
But I first thought, I go, that guy's already got a show. Like, that's totally ridiculous.
Right, right. And that's another reason. I've auditioned twice this last year for America's Got Talent. And they called me, you know, we think you're great. You know, they'd seen my stuff on the internet. LarryGJones.com. They seen it on the internet and called me up. You know, hey, we think you're great. And
But instead, they took the toe guy.
The toe guy. Yeah, did you see that guy?
Right. Yeah, you see what the people. Yeah, they said the reason they wanted something with a little more variety. So I decided next year I'm gonna do voices while I like do something like balance a lawnmower on my head. But then I saw they had somebody doing that already.
Yeah.
You see that? It's throwing the cabbage into the lawnmower. The lawnmower's actually going, and this guy's throwing heads of cabbage in there. Say, what kind of show is that? Yeah.
Wow.
And that's what I think. People know what the prize, what the ultimate prize is. So are they really going on there thinking that this act is going to make it In Vegas, I mean.
No, they're just going for exposure. No.
Yeah, they're just.
That's all it's about.
Yeah.
That's all it's about.
Mm-hmm. Or they're just like, are you kidding?
I do that in the women's locker room all the time.
What, getting exposure?
Go for exposure.
How does that work out for you?
The first couple of times it was just community service, but next time I think I'm doing time, so. Yeah.
You can handle community service, but jail time's serious.
Yeah, that's getting a little more serious. Yeah.
Right.
So you're in a 50, what, a 50 person auditorium?
About 75.
And you're moving in, you have plans of.
Yeah, we've been in negotiations with some other hotels, so.
You know what? You could do. I don't see why they don't just bring into like some place like the Monte Carlo. In all honesty, if you have Lance, who only does one show a night now, 7 o'clock. What about a 10 o'clock show or a 4 o'clock show?
Yeah,
yeah,
absolutely. I'd love to be part of the MGM family.
Oh yeah,
or Harris family.
Yeah,
you know that's really. And the hard part is there's not many small showrooms in Las Vegas.
Right, and I mean there's not a lot of really good afternoon shows. I mean, really.
Yeah,
and we get a lot of requests. You know, being at the concierge desk all day,
right?
They're good afternoon shows. You can go watch some poodles hop through a ring of fire.
Yeah,
right.
I know now. Rich Natoli is a good afternoon.
You know Rich?
Yeah, I don't know him personally. No,
yeah, we met him. He was on the show last week.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, he was hooked up through Bobby Slayton. So
yeah, he does impressions, but only comedian.
Can you do Bobby Slayton's voice?
He's laughing
because Rich did it, and we were pretty surprised. But it was
I'd have to hear him right now to
do it.
Yeah, it's not locked in my head.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm over at Trump Channel right now. I got some 500 feet, man. You're gonna love this place. Oh man, so great. I love being on the show now in the basement.
Pretty good. Yeah, that's what it sounds like.
That's good. That's, yeah. All right.
Tropicana, newly remodeled, 500 rooms.
We know. Fuck. That used to be Ronnie Dangerfield called.
Yeah, that's it.
There it is.
Yeah.
There it is.
That was it.
Who's one of your most favorite impersonators to do?
Oh, my favorite. Ooh. It depends week to week.
Really?
Yeah, you know, like sometimes, it depends on sometimes like whatever's the new bit that I just added, you know, because I'll add, so I'll take one thing in, take another thing out, and change, or then I'll. Or just do a new section of the show. But I'd say right now, probably...
right now, this moment.
Right
this
now,
second.
This moment, the Four Temptations, when I do that bit, changing the different
voices. Oh, yeah,
voices.
I've seen you do that. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, you do all
the
Temptations?
Of them.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's cool. Have you ever thought about impersonating impersonators?
Well, I thought about doing a ventriloquist bit.
Yeah.
Terry Fader, you know.
He does. He
can
also,
you do that too?
You do Michael Jackson in your act too, right?
Yeah, he's out right now.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
Yeah, I don't want to be poking fun too much of him right now. He's, you know.
Yeah, it's hard because you know.
Yeah.
He's kind of. Yeah, he died.
We'll give it some time. Yeah. We'll give it some time and see what happens.
Yeah.
You know.
And this is, it's sad that he passed, but I saw on the news today that they said the funeral was like 14, like 1.4 million or
1.7 million
like
to make
2 million something to like with all the police and
right.
And yeah. They're asking the citizens of Los Angeles and fans of Michael Jackson to make donations to help pay for it.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, and I mean they're all it's like on MySpace
this guy
and
is
Facebook
like a
vote do you
American
think
American icon.
Yeah, it's like do you think these people should pay? No, I think the Jacksons have enough money that they could actually pay $1.4 million
right.
to bury Michael Jackson.
Especially with all the record sales going through the roof.
Oh yeah.
Yeah,
they're going to have enough money.
Yeah, I'm like, you really? And of course, there's fans that have gone to the website and they've donated something already, like $17,000. That's ridiculous.
You know, that's kind of that's some of the whole liberal crap of share the wealth sort of thing. That's that's the mentality. Yeah, you know, we all need to pitch in together. We're one big community, and there's no need to struggle to be the best you can be because. You'll get the same anyway because we're going to make sure.
I mean, grant you, yes. Grant you, he, you know, huge performer, but I don't, you know, I never read anything about them doing that for Elvis.
No.
You
know?
No.
Yeah,
true.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, and the guy's a great performer, but I just think that's kind of, well, you know, LA's broke. Wow. Sorry.
Yeah, guess what? I am too.
Yeah. I am too.
Yeah, newsflash.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, were you really good friends with Danny Gans?
I never met Danny Gans.
He's got a showroom open.
Yeah, I know.
I hate to say it, but
I mean, so But did you see his show? I mean.
Oh, yeah, I've seen his show. Yeah, I think he's great. Yeah, he was great.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah, I saw it a number of times.
He was awesome.
Yeah.
I didn't see him when he moved over to the Encore, but I did see him when he was at the Mirage.
I'll be working with his musical director, who basically was with Danny for the 10 years while they wrote that show together.
Oh, hey, that's cool.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
So you could move into a showroom that has walls.
I could. That's right. That's right.
Yeah, I heard about that.
Yeah.
It's like being in a fort right now.
What's the showroom like? I go, remember when you were a kid and you like used to take a blanket and you'd put it from the like the ceiling to the bed and you kind of made like a little like a fort tent. Yeah. And I go, that's what it's like when you go to Skinner Jones.
Like you get bunk beds.
But you know you just really lose all sight of that when the show starts because I mean. He's just into it. He just doesn't stop from the time the show starts. And you have, I don't know his real name, but you have a great Red Skelton impersonator there.
Yeah, Brian Hoffman. Brian Hoffman is Red Skelton.
First time I ever met him was on Showbus of the Stars.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah, and he used to drive around and tell some jokes. And
right.
It was a lot of fun.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, we had a lot of fun last summer doing Showbus of the Stars.
See, the good thing about the show is that now is... If he does decide to expand, you just got to move the sheets out a little bit, and you're ready to rock, right? Just make it bigger. Just take over the whole casino.
Ladies and gentlemen, we've added some more space. He just took the curtain down.
Yeah.
But, I mean, kidding aside, it's a great show. It's a lot of fun. I enjoyed it a lot. He put us right up front, took total care of us. It was fun. It was a good time.
We like to have fun.
We do.
Fun is good. Where is it at, even? I don't even know.
The Royal Resort Grand Garden Coliseum.
Coliseum. Coliseum.
Well, that's what we nicknamed it because it's the antithesis.
Yeah.
99 Convention Center Drive. If you go to my website, LarryGJones.com, you can, there's a Google map right to where it's at. It's right behind the Encore on the Convention Center Drive. You know where the Greek Isles is?
Yeah.
It's down, so that's the Convention Center Drive, but closer to Las Vegas Boulevard.
Okay.
Right off the boulevard, right behind his gold key shops there.
Cool.
99 Convention
Adjacent Center. To the Walgreens, you know, it's all right there. There's Ross.
Prime location.
Ross, yeah, that's right.
Ross.
There really is, okay, you know what? That was one thing I was wondering. It comes up on Google that there's a Ross on Las Vegas Boulevard. I didn't believe it. There really is a Ross on Las Vegas Boulevard.
Yeah.
Why would you go to the Las Vegas Strip to shop at Ross?
If you're if you're a tourist, you would need to. I would need to pick up something. You know,
I guess maybe
that's who goes in
I
there.
I got it, Ross.
He does a great George W. Bush.
George W. What are y'all talking about?
I love that.
I like his way up here on the 44th floor. And I'm looking down like, whoa, look out! Don't fall. Hey, Dick, don't get too close to the edge.
That's freaking awesome.
That's awesome, yeah.
That's great. The Huntinator.
remember back when Jesse Jackson... I've got to talk to the mic. When Jesse Jackson had his whole deal where he got caught getting somebody pregnant?
Yeah.
I just found this thing today that I'd written a long time ago about that. That whole thing. It's a Jesse Jackson rant.
I love Jesse Jackson. He shows up at everything.
Everything. Yeah.
He was at the Michael, like when the family's talking about Michael Jackson. Today on the news about the grave robbers, he showed up there to talk, you know, to give his support and his grief for the families. And
he's there for Steve McNair.
He's always there.
Yeah.
And you can't understand him.
And what does he do? And who pays him?
Yeah, who is this guy? Yeah,
Who is this guy?
Yeah. And why does
the Reverend of Jesse Jackson?
There was a radio program I used to listen to in L.A. And every Monday night they would do what did Jesse Jackson say? He would do a speech and they would take like two sentences from it, and they would have listeners call in and go, "Yeah, I think he said," and they're like, "Nope," and it was. But Jesse Jackson.
Let's hear this thing. He's got this thing.
I just call this the Jesse Jackson pregnancy scam rant. Now to the great consternation caused by the revelation of my act of procreation, I accept my obligation to give explanation to the population for my act of copulation.
Oh my God!
I gave in to temptation. for the anticipation of sexual gratification that I might not obtain through masturbation resulted in my fornication. I accepted her invitation, provided her with the excitation, stimulation, penetration, replication, and liberation. She provided lubrication to avoid inflammation, and I wore condoms to avoid contamination. She cried for duplication, but I insisted upon termination in spite of her fascination with a variation. This has caused me great aggravation and agitation and provocation of the media, which has resulted in my humiliation, denigration, and degradation.
Wow.
My wife is considering castration, which would cause my hospitalization. Now, I pray that this matter will find culmination in my sanctification and rehabilitation so that my plans for nomination to my ultimate vocation will not result in revocation and termination. This proclamation has provided illumination on verification and will further prohibit further provocation. Thank you.
Thank you. Nice, very nice.
Oh, that was awesome.
Wow. Awesome.
That's awesome. I've never heard anybody do Jesse Jackson before, so that's cool.
And I've got another one that's like this, but it's about immigration. I can't find it now. I put this whole thing together.
Oh, that's great. Well, that was great.
9 years of material.
Yeah, I guess you stockpile it after a while, right?
Right.
Yeah, go back and look at the, you know, it's because you get ideas, and then, like, the thing that I do in the show, the Phantom of the Opera parody, I started that about 8 years ago. Actually, no, about 10 years ago. I started it back when I was in L.A. I had the idea for it. Something about his eyeballs are floating. He's got to pee. There's a whole thing. He ends up wearing Depends. I knew the punchline, and I knew the idea, but I had to put it all together so it makes sense. And it turned out really good. It's a fun bit.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, you know, I've dabbled in stand-up comedy here and there. I used to work at the Improv, and
yeah, good thing that's over.
And stuff like that. And I always had a lot of, like, material. Like, I had 13 roommates, and they're all very unique. And I know the jokes are there. It's just, how do I formulate them and get them there? You know,
right?
You know, I've tried. I've had some pretty disastrous things happen as roommates. I actually, when I was doing open mic, when I'd asked anybody in the crowd, you know, anybody have a really bad roommate? And some girl raised her hand. I'm just like, you know, well, what's the worst thing he does? Oh, he clips his toenails and he leaves them all over the couch. I was like, oh, well, I had a roommate stab my dog.
You know, oh my God!
You know, and everybody laughs, and I go, "No, it's true."
Right?
You know, like, and you don't think it's true, but it's true. Yeah. You know, they're like, "Oh," and I'm like, "Who else? Who else wants to challenge me?"
You stabbed your dog?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh,
that's pretty intense.
It is pretty intense. Yeah.
Wow.
He really wanted that Twinkie.
I guess so.
I've you know, sat down with like Bobby Slayton and stuff, and said, "Hey, you know, I just don't know how to develop it." And they're like, yeah, it'll come to you.
Yeah, the thing he's done telling you about the Tropicana, he'll give you some advice.
we bust Bobby so hard. He comes into the concierge desk, and he razzes us because he knows we can't speak freely.
Yeah.
Right.
So
we try to get him where, yeah, every chance we can after that.
Yeah.
You know, I got him good today at work. They're like, Bobby Slayton, who's that? I'm like, oh, he was in a Road Trip and a bunch of other movies you really don't care about.
Yeah. Have you done any movies?
Not a lot. Just mostly bit parts. I was in a couple of soap operas, Days of Our Lives and As the World Turns.
Oh, that's cool.
A bunch of extra work and stuff like that.
Any cartoon work?
I've done...
Yeah, you'd be perfect for cartoon work.
Not a lot. Yeah, I did one that ended up, and I think it was the idea because it was something else, but it was a cartoon with a sponge.
Oh, okay.
But they took it underwater, you know. But the idea there, and we did some jingles and some work for that, but it never made it though.
I thought he was starting to describe SpongeBob SquarePants.
Mostly just jingle work. Doing, yeah. Yeah.
An underwater sponge. Yeah, that's good.
Well, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about a couple of your CDs. You have one here, which is your divorce CD.
Oh, yes.
Which is funny stuff.
Your favorite love songs, divorce style.
Yeah. That's awesome.
So we're going to take a break, and we'll be back right after this.
All right, can everybody take their seats and settle down, please? Hey, come on, guys. We got a lot of work to get through today, okay? Now, let's start with some word problems. Okay, let's see. This question is for Jacob. Jacob, let's say you work 25 hours a week after school at the deli, earning $8 an hour. Sally works 30 hours a week at the movie theater, earning Y dollars an hour. And Sean works 40 hours a week at the auto shop, earning X dollars an hour. Then how are you going to drive your mother to her dialysis treatments every day and still find time to finish your science project this week?
Some students are tackling more than just their schoolwork, which is why more than 30% of them aren't graduating. But you can give them the boost they need to make it through by visiting boostup.org.
All right, listen up, class. This next question is for Susan. If you pick 27 apples and you give away 30%, how many apples will you...
Visit boostup.org today. Brought to you by the U.S. Army and the Ad Council.
Violence, theft, drugs, graffiti, it's all part of joining a gang. In times like these, we need to protect our children and our community from gangs. Gangs often prey on unsupervised teens with low self-esteem, who perform poorly in school, who seek a sense of belonging, or are simply bored. Joining a gang often involves violent hazing rituals. Once in a gang, members can become alienated from their families, school, and friends. Drugs, guns, and malicious activity are common elements in gangs. Trying to leave a gang can be a difficult and dangerous process. The best way to get out of a gang is never to join one. Protect kids from being recruited by a gang. Know who they're hanging out with. Involve kids in after-school activities and provide positive role models. Help reduce gang activities in your community by working with local law enforcement and school systems. Don't let a kid you know get involved with gangs. Visit ncpc.org to learn more or contact your local law enforcement agency.
A message from the U.S. Department of Justice, National Crime Prevention Council, and the Ad Council.
Hey, what's up? This is Cliff speaking for Rad. Give up the keys. Choose a designated driver. Music lives. So should you.
A public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, Rad, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Hear that? That's the sound of safety, and the sound of your family's belongings staying where they belong. In times like these, it's important to know how to protect your home, your family, and your valuables. A good strong lock on a solid door and frame can make a huge difference. Most burglars will spend no longer than a minute trying to break in. That's only as long as this radio announcement. Remember to lock your doors and windows. Even the best locks can't protect you unless you use them. Install bright outdoor lighting. If you have an alarm system, use it, and post signs that say your home has an alarm. Trim bushes and trees so your house is clearly visible to your neighbors and your street. If you ever return home to find that someone has broken in, do not enter. Call the police immediately. To learn more on how to keep your home and family safe, visit ncpc.org. That's ncpc.org. Let's all work together to keep our homes safe and sound. A message from the U.S. Department of Justice, National Crime Prevention Council, and the Ad Council.
Hi there, this is Tom Lehrer, and you're listening to The Crazy J Show.
We're always back before you realize it. It's the Rockin' Comedy Show. We're up here on the 44th floor.
Boy, that was fast.
Awesome view. We have table and bottle service for Larry G. Jones, so, you know, just making him feel right at home.
Enjoy the view. Enjoy
great.
It. Yeah.
Great.
It sucks City Center blocks the view, but, you know.
Yeah. And you got the giant Speed Racer crotch right in your face. But
you wanted to be a part of the MGM family, so stare at the City Center.
Yeah, right, I know. Which is a hideous building, I think.
We had a couple come up to today. They go, what's wrong with the building out there? It looks like it's leaning over. Like,
it is.
It was built that way. Were they drunk? Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're on something.
Yeah.
But I think it's going to look really amazing when it's done and finished. So you have a... How many CDs do you actually have?
I have, with including that one, eight. Seven. Whoa. Sorry, seven.
Six now, because you gave us this one.
Yeah. Darn.
Are they, like, different styles?
Yeah, I have a country CD, a rock and roll CD, one CD called A Whole Lot of Oldies, one CD... Frank Sinatra tribute, one CD, is just a lot of voices. I've done sound-alikes for cartoons, you know, the Mulan. What I used to do, one of my jobs was doing sound-alikes for movie soundtracks. And so we'd remake the movie soundtracks. The songs inspired by the movie Armageddon, for instance. Right, and I did like five different songs on that from different artists and stuff. There's Bon Jovi was on there and Aerosmith. And one of the ones that I did, you asked about cartoons, was Mulan.
Right.
The movie Mulan, the cartoon. They sell them over in Europe for half the price, like the K-Tail version. I was the guy. One of the guys doing the voices, and some women too. And it was kind of a fun job.
That's right. Pretty cool.
You know, that was a fun job.
And this one is more comedy based, I'm assuming.
Now this is a comedy CD, not fully written by me. There's a guy named Billy Riggs out of Dallas, and he's a speaker and comedian and motivational speaker and magician, and he came up with this CD, this concept, and it's really funny stuff. I'm not the only one on the CD. There's about six or eight different people. I did three voices on two songs. Willie Nelson, Julio Iglesias. It's got great songs. Now I have to warn you folks, playing the divorce CD backwards will not get you your stuff back.
Will not get you.
Nice. So you do one song on here called "To All the Girls I Could Have Loved."
Yes, that's a duet with me and me doing Willie and Julio. To all the girls I could have loved if you didn't have a headache 362 days a year.
Well, let's play that one here on the Rockin' Comedy Show.
To all the girls I could have loved, the ones I spent years dreaming of, to all the girls I could have kissed, that marriage forced me to resist. I dropped that ball and chain for Kim and Sue and Jane, and all the girls I could have loved. To all the girls who glanced my way, but saw my ring and turned away. I almost slit my wrist when I think of all I missed with all the girls I could have loved. A wedding should be a beginning, but it's the end of all the fun. The man we could have loved, the ones we spent years dreaming of. We've ditched our frigid wives, we dedicate our lives to all the girls we could have loved. To all the girls we could have loved, the ones we spent years. We've ditched our frigid wives, we dedicate our lives to all the girls we call.
great song from Larry G. Jones called To All the Girls I Could Have Loved. And this is available at LarryGJones.com.
This is Dr. Phil. I got to talk to y'all about divorce. I mean, it's complicated. I mean, you got problems. You got to fix them. I mean, it's like no matter how flat you make the pancake, you know, you got to flip it over.
Nice. Oh, that's great. I wish, like I said last week with Rich Natoli, man, I don't know how people learn how to do voices or even the ventriloquist.
Yeah, he's got some great. Talking like myself.
Yeah, he's got some great voices. He does a different style than what I do. Mine's more musical, and his is more. It's like stand up for the most part. We're kind of probably equal as far as that goes because he does about I don't know 10 or 15 minutes of
right
of. Singing, and the rest I just do 10 or 15 minutes of stand-up.
Right.
You know, we're kind of opposite on that, so.
Yeah, he didn't do a lot of singing.
Right, well, yeah. he said that he didn't do a lot.
Would you think
yeah,
about,
he's great.
Would you consider doing a CD of songs, but replacing the main theme with tacos?
No. How would that come out?
Oh, you know, like, let's see here. Give me an example. Give me a song, Jay.
Any song?
Any song.
Are You Lonesome Tonight?
Are you lonesome tonight, my taco? Just like that, you know?
This is what I work
with. Are you
with.
Taco tonight?
This is what he's like at the desk.
That's all I do.
All day?
Yeah.
It wasn't hard for people to figure out we were the two guys that had the radio show.
Yeah.
Where's a big poster of Jim Morrison if you did Break On Through? Break on through to the taco shop.
Yes. See, there you go. You got it. Oh, man. Now we're talking. We got a band now.
That's right.
I love music.
It's the thumb. That's what's so funny. Can you do the voice of Billy Mays, who just recently passed? The pitch man?
I don't know. I'm Billy Mays! And guess what? It's a lot of the hand movements.
Yeah,
too.
It is. It's 1995.
That's right.
We're gonna double your offer.
I only saw one. I only saw one episode of that pitch man, and there was one episode where she was trying to hawk something. She goes, "I was thinking, I don't know, $25." He goes, "I don't sell it if it ain't 1995."
Did he say
that? Right.
Yeah. Everything he had was 1995.
Oh my gosh, you're right, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
He goes, "If it ain't 1995, I don't sell it."
Wow, that's true.
Yeah. It is cool. With the bands, how long did you, how old were you when you started actually singing in bands?
I was about 20.
Oh.
About 19 or 20. Yeah, when I first moved to college at Auburn University. Oh. Down south, yes, sir.
Did you just fall into it, or was it just something you always
did? Well, I kind of just fell into it. I ended up with a roommate who was a drummer, and he ended up jamming with a neighbor in the apartment complex who was a bass player, and I stuck in a pair of headphones to a extra bass amp he had and started singing through those because you know, can use it as a microphone like that.
Yeah.
And they said, "Hey, you sing really good. What? Let's make a band."
Sure.
What was the name of your first band? Do you remember?
We were called the Surge.
Did covers?
Yeah, we just did covers. Yeah. Oh, we had one or two originals we did once in a while. But it was all covers, classic rock. You know, a lot of Zeppelin, The Doors, The Who, Rush, Rolling Stones, all that kind of stuff.
I got a question for you. When you were younger, did you have an accent?
Yes, quite a
bit. You did?
Quite a bit.
Because, you know, you hear people like Hugh Jackman, and when you hear them on TV, they have no accent. But then you see them in real life, and, oh, I have an accent now, all of a sudden. And, like, so how is it that they can just, like, decide? Like, what's the decidetator there, you know? Like,
well,
how did you get rid of it, and why don't you have it now?
Well, I can tell you why I got rid of it. Because when I moved out from Alabama to California, I got really tired of people going, "Well, hey, where are you from, boy?" And I was like, "Uh-oh, the accent's got to go."
Got to go.
Yeah, so I, you know, it took me a little while to get rid of it.
Can you bring it back when you want to?
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
I mean, you might be a redneck. Your 2-year-old has more teeth than you do. You might be a redneck. Your daddy walks you to school because you're in the same grade. And you just might be a redneck if you let your 14-year-old daughter smoke cigarettes at the dinner table in front of her three kids.
Oh, God.
Nice.
Slam.
Hey, what a crowd, I tell you.
That's awesome.
That is badass.
Oh, I was thinking, you know,
jealous.
I was thinking about doing a bit where you have, you know, remember the old commercial? I am stuck on Band-Aids.
Band-Aids.
Everybody knows that one. What if you had different celebrities doing, like John F. Kennedy? Oh, I am stuck on Band-Aids. Cause Band-Aids are stuck on me. And you got Nixon. I am stuck on Band-Aids. Because Band-Aids, they're stuck on me.
George W.
I'm stuck on Band-Aids, y'all. You know why? Because Band-Aids are stuck on me.
That's perfect, dude.
That's awesome.
And then you got Clint. I am stuck on Band-Aids. Because Band-Aids are stuck across her elbow.
So when you were learning the voices and all that, you had to do some prank calls.
Yeah, well, I did a lot of that as a kid, you know. And I guess even then, I wasn't really imitating people. We do funny voices, though, you know.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
We call it Piggly Wiggly. Yeah, can I speak to the pig? That's what we do it all the time. We want to speak to the pig.
If I could do that, I'd be calling people all the time.
Oh yeah,
yeah, voices. All the time.
I do it at the drive-thru and stuff still a lot.
See,
you know,
that's perfect.
What I do is I pull up to the order window, and I go, "Yes, I would like 2 hamburgers, 2 French fries, a number 4 with Coke to drink, not Diet Coke, Diet Coke." No, scratch the regular cook. Then I'll pull up to the window, and I'll go, "Well, hey, is it ready yet?"
Tell you, like,
let's take him to McDonald's before he leaves.
Oh, we have to, dude. That would be awesome. Get it on camera. God, yeah. We got to videotape this.
When I was a kid, I had a little car. It was, you know, just like a little Toyota or something. And somebody sideswiped me and crashed in the car door, so I couldn't open my door or my window. So for probably about 6 months, we drove backwards through the drive-thrus.
Yeah, totally.
Drove backwards through the drive-thru.
That's awesome. Hey, you know.
I love it when you see people who their cars don't work properly and they're in the drive-thru. They open the door because the window don't roll down.
Yeah.
And they have to get their stuff. You know, it's just.
Oh, you know, Brian's got this thing on his car. He's got it's an old car. He's got this little box that's hooked up into his horn. And he can press it, and it makes all kinds of different noises. Chickens and cats and roosters and just all kinds of bizarre. It's like 100 different noises.
Oh, nice.
He can make. And sometimes he'll pull up at a light when it's kind of crowded, and he'll press the cat one, and it goes, meow, meow. And he's had people get up out of their car and looking around. And maybe their cat is stuck underneath their car and stuff like that.
Hilarious.
It's hilarious, man.
That's funny.
Oh, yeah. And it's got a little microphone, so you can talk through it, too.
Oh, yeah, I've seen a couple of cars that are like that. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Cop cars are like that.
Yeah.
When years ago, when the alarms first came out, where they talked, and they were like, "You're standing too close to this vehicle," right?
Yeah. I will punch you in the nuts.
Yeah, my sister's fiancé at the time had one on his truck, and he parked it in the backyard. He was getting ready to wash it, and my grandpa came outside, just sit outside, get some fresh air, and he sat down on the tail bed of the truck, and he put it down, and he's like, "Warning, warning, I'm being violated." And my grandpa, I thought, I swear to God, he was going to have a heart attack, because he had no idea. This car just started talking, "Please back up from the vehicle," and then it started making all the noise and sirens, and he was just like, "I don't know what happened." Like, he was so scared. It was so funny. Everybody was just laughing at him, and he's like, "That's not funny." Like, it is. So
it really is.
Yeah. So that would be cool, just to be able to have the speaker make it say whatever you want.
Yeah, do you have any videos on your website?
Yes, I do. LarryGJones.com, right on there. It's YouTube. If you link over to YouTube, they've got another half a dozen videos or more on there.
That's awesome.
Some fun stuff.
We should add some.
I brought you a DVD if you want to put it wherever you want there.
Oh, yeah.
Or just link to my YouTube.
I've never had anybody say, "Put it where you want."
Put it where you want.
That's awesome. And where was this recorded? Was this recorded at the...
This was recorded, it's a combination of the Plaza and Fitzgerald's and a couple
of Fitzgeralds.
First time I ever saw him, he was at Fitzgeralds.
Oh yeah, I remember you being at the Fitz actually. Yeah. I remember you being at the Plaza too.
Yeah. 7 years I was downtown.
That must be good to start working your way this way.
I have the longest...
Even if your showroom don't have walls.
Right. I have the longest running, least advertised show in Las Vegas.
Longest running, least advertised show.
Yeah, yeah.
Nice.
We haven't taken out any display ads in 7 years.
You serious?
Yeah.
You've never done one?
Flying under the radar.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now, are you doing that
I've done a couple of coupon things, but hardly any.
Are you doing that, like, on purpose, or... Is it just,
well,
it's just how you...
We tried taking some coupon ads out in the magazines when I moved to the Royal, and didn't work. Just, you know, didn't pay for itself. So we stopped doing it. You know, we tried some stuff like that, but I'm going to try it again coming up in August. I got an ad already submitted. It.
You should do one like the Larry G. Jones Show. Then like underneath, put like it doesn't suck. What do you think?
You might as well, you know. You might as well. That might as well. Yeah.
Larry, it might work.
Larry G. Jones, when you can't afford Cirque.
Yeah, when you can't
afford Cirque. That's right. Well, that's what's tough right now. It's
Larry
all,
G. Jones.
Discounting.
Yeah, all
Larry G.
Right
Jones,
now.
He's not Carrot Top.
He's not Carrot Top. Right. Exactly. At least I'm not Carrot Top.
Two and a half years as a concierge, I've yet to sell a ticket to Carrot Top.
Really?
I absolutely refuse to sell a ticket to Carrot Top.
Oh.
If they go, we want to see something funny.
Does he think
like,
he sucks?
He's horrible.
I thought he was funny. I don't know. It's been 5 years since I've seen him.
Oh, yeah? I think he looks funny.
Yeah, he looks
Oh, he looks real funny. Especially, yeah. I saw him back before he got all his changes. I just met... I ran into him. Yeah, I ran into him at the costume shop. I was like, hey, you're Carrot Top, aren't you? You know, so yeah, I do this. And he said, hey, you want to come to my show tonight?
If you call him by his, real name, he hates it.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Francis? Is that it?
Francis, no.
No?
No. Francis, I learned what it was.
I forget what it is.
I learned what it was when I worked at the Improv, and I had to pass out the checks one night, and he was there, and I was like, well, here you go, and I tell him his name, and he goes, it's Carrot Top. I go, your mom didn't name you Carrot Top.
So, that's what you told him?
Yeah. He goes, I like to be called Carrot Top. I'm like, whatever.
That's funny, because I call him C-Top. For like, do you have tickets for Carrot Top? I'm like, oh, well, you mean C-Top?
His first, I won't say his first and last name on there, but his first name is Scott. And so it's like,
Scott,
I used to call him Scott Top.
Scott Top.
I thought he was funny. I like his stuff.
He's got a few things that will, like, you know, I'm just not a big prop guy. I don't like,
right.
Like, I never really thought Gallagher was all that funny, you know? And,
right.
And so I was just, he's got a few jokes that he's done that Carrot Top made me laugh. I just don't think he's funny now. I think maybe it's just because he's a little too disturbing to look at. I don't know.
Freaks me out, yeah.
Yeah. He's just, but I've never, like, people will be like, oh, I want to see a really funny show. You know, is Carrot Top playing tonight? I thought you wanted to see something funny.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, man.
But,
yeah, yeah, as concierge, that you pretty much, because everything's been hurting, you have to pretty much focus on the MGM shows, I would think.
We have to just throw a couple out. We don't have to do them all. But usually we just go, you're safe if you know, hey, what's good? O.
Yeah. I think,
right.
O is, listen, this is it. What do you recommend? O is the most popular show. I don't even tell them what I recommend. I just tell them, O is the
most popular
show.
Oh,
exactly.
Yeah.
And then
they go, can I get tickets? They're sold out.
Yeah.
Oh, well, it's got its name.
Exactly.
You can't get in, and the tickets are too much.
And then when we do have them, it's $190.
Wow.
Yeah, exactly. And so that should be its new name. Wow.
I thought they were discounting all the search shows now.
Right now it's buy one, get one, $25.
Uh-huh.
But not all of them, just some of them, like Ka's doing it. And that's good. That's a good show. But look at this. Still, how much is your ticket to your show?
$45.
$45. Two tickets, you're looking at $90. Just for them to get a ticket with a $25, they're still looking at I get $125, $150.
Yeah, they
bucks.
Still have to spend at least over $100 to get a discount.
Right.
You know, so they're still looking at a good chunk of change.
Right.
And this is the thing is how many times can you see Cirque du Soleil? How, for the love of God, they're making an Elvis Cirque du Soleil show.
I know.
You know, it's funny. One of the hardest things is,
I rank on that
is,
in my show.
Is when when people come up and they you know, they say, hey, can you recommend something? And we don't know them. We don't know what they like. We don't know what they've seen. And the biggest thing is you're like, oh, you know, you should check out Jersey Boys. I've seen that in Chicago.
Whoa, yeah, like they take
all right,
it.
You know, it's like,
hey, don't take it
or
personal.
Or if they haven't heard of it, like if you, you know, example, you could say like, well, you know, you should go see Larry G. Jones. No, like they're just like they're scared. No. Like it's like I want to see a Cirque show, and then you're like, oh, they're like, I don't want to see Cirque because I've seen them all. Or you start telling them, well, you got Phantom. I've seen it.
Oh, I don't like that.
Oh, you get, you know what you should do? You should get a little questionnaire. Check off this thing.
Yeah.
You know, have like six or eight shows that they have seen or not. Which shows have you seen already? And have them listed, and it's have them circled.
Yeah. I was just gonna make that way.
I can better assist you if you'll take 1 minute to fill this out for me.
Yeah,
seriously. I'll really be able to help you out.
I'm just gonna make.
Do you
a
like
twist
you know? Do you like A, comedy? B, musical? C, boobies?
You know, what is it? What do you want?
Do you like musicals, comedy, and boobies? Go see Larry G. Jones.
Yeah, Larry G. Jones. I'm just gonna make like a twister board with a dial.
Yeah, you might as well.
Yeah,
just spin the wheel. This is what you're gonna see tonight. Oh crap, yeah. Carrot Top. All right, we'll give you one more spin. Yeah. Whoa, Bobby Slayton.
And this is the thing, though. So we have to recommend. First off, we have to recommend MGM Mirage Resorts. But it usually goes like this. Oh, well, we've got Lance Burton. Oh, it's the most popular show, and you can probably go see Ka. And we also have, and then you spend time, oh, well, you know, like, there's Amazing Jonathan over at the Planet Hollywood. Oh, there's Bobby Slayton. Let me tell you a little bit about his show. There's Larry G. Jones. It's a smaller show, but you'll really like it. It's got this, 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 and this is what they do. And then we spend time talking about that product.
Right.
And we just name off the three that we have to.
They can tell
right.
What shows we like.
Yeah.
Because we're like,
right.
Yeah, you can see, oh, it's done in water.
Yeah.
Woohoo! You know, it's like,
I'll do this one. Tell me about, oh, sure.
That's funny.
Now imagine me flipping around.
Yeah. It's just it's weird like what people want, and now it's like with the way the economy is, it's 2-for-1 buffets.
Yeah. Oh my god.
I had a lady today say she was gonna go. I think she was gonna go see the Fab Four over at Planet Hollywood until she found out it was $55. She said that was too much.
$55.
And then she said, is Bette Midler in town?
$300.
Yeah, but you're not seeing her for $55. There's no way.
Unless you kidnap her.
you might see her at the George Wallace show. She showed up there one night.
Did she really?
Yeah. You might see that for $55, but...
Right.
Yeah, you've seen a lot of shows in Vegas.
Yeah, probably not as many. I've never seen Lance Burton, for one.
He's good, actually.
Yeah, I'd like to see him. I already renewed, so that's good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So he's got a 6-year contract with 2 2-year options. So he's really there for 2 years and 2 2-year options.
I see.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's good. Otherwise, he was gone. That was it.
That was it, yeah.
What show do you think is the worst show on the Strip?
Bobby Slayton.
Yeah. Aside from the obvious.
Bobby Slayton.
Okay.
The worst show?
Yeah. In your opinion. Maybe it will be an agreement. Does it start with a C?
I don't know. It was maybe that one that was at the Sahara with the strange ethereal musical thing that was there.
What was that? That magic show?
No, it wasn't magic.
Raw.
Raw.
Oh, that Raw Talent thing.
Raw Talent Live. Yeah.
You know what about the crazy
bizarre
laptop? The magical laptop, right?
Right.
Tony was explaining it to me, and they said, well, it's about this magical laptop. I was like, stop you right there.
Honestly, worst show on the Strip is Chris Angel.
I haven't seen him yet.
It's horrible.
Yeah.
It's bad. Yeah. I haven't seen Ka either. I'd like to see
Ka. If you get free tickets to see Chris Angel, throw them away.
Really?
Yeah, it'll be 90 minutes that you wish you could, you know, watched your own show.
Yeah.
It's bad, and they've revamped it like 3 times.
Really?
You know what's gonna make that show good?
Like watching Matrix.
Getting him out of it.
That's what I hear. Yeah.
The first time before they changed it, he was actually beatboxing in the show, and he was dancing with rabbits.
Tell me what you want. What you really, really want.
Yeah. Yeah, it was really bad. So let's get back to Larry G. Jones and not.
Was he here today?
Not Chris Angel. I know there's all these other people here. It's amazing. Can you do Bill Cosby?
You see, if I was to do some Bill Cosby, then it would require more Jell-O pudding.
He's got to hate that. Bill Cosby literally has to hate that when anybody does an impression of him.
Right.
It's always the
about the pudding. They go right to it.
You don't do Fat Albert. You don't do, like, Noah. You don't do any of his classic
videos. Right, right.
I got to hate the pudding.
What the hard part is like, if you, you know, you go into the Noah thing, it's like, it's this whole long story.
Right.
You know, you could, you know, I was at the dentist the other day, and I said to my dentist, I said,
I feel like my lip is on the floor.
And I try to do it even though my mouth is numb. That's it. He got it.
He got it.
He got it. Don't do it again.
My face is on the floor. You'll see.
Yeah.
You'll see.
Let's play another song from this CD. You have one more song on here.
Yes, You Clog Up My Senses. You clog up my senses. I mean, you get allergic to people when you get divorced, you know. It's like, I don't want to see you.
I'm sorry.
I don't want to be near you.
A lot of times you don't need to be divorced. I got an ex that can attest to that. We weren't even married, and let me tell you, I'm glad that's over with.
So let's play the song, You Clog Up My Senses.
By John.
You clog up my senses like a knife in a landfill, like the pollen in springtime, like the smog in LA, like a sandstorm in a desert, like a swimming lake. You clog up my senses, now you'll be repaid. Come, let me sue you, let me take your house from you. Keep attorney's fees on you, make you sleep in the car. Let me garnish your wages and destroy you in stages. I'll squeeze every cent from your greedy heart. Like the fallen in springtime, like the smog in LA, like a sandstorm in the desert, like a hair in my pudding. You clog up my senses, now you'll be. Let me squeeze the life from you, turn the neighbors against you, make you live on the street. Let me always harass you, teach our children to sass you,
wash you out of my hair. The crimson heat. Come, let me sue you. Let me squeeze the life from you. Tell the neighbors that there's you. Make you live on. Wash you out of my head, the friends that we
need. Through
LarryGJones.com.
Do you have a MySpace?
I'm on MySpace. I hardly ever go on MySpace anymore, though.
I mean,
Facebook.
You're on Facebook? Yeah. You have Facebook?
Yeah,
do you
I do
Twitter?
Facebook. I tweet, man. I tweet.
I love that when they say, I tweet. Yeah. I actually went...
But I don't tweak.
I have the Twitter account, and I don't use it that much, and I had somebody email me and tell me one time, they're like, you know, you always go out to all these pools, and you go out to the nightclubs, and you go, but you don't Twitter. You know, you live this very interesting life, you use your Twitter. So one night I went on, I didn't have anything to do, so I was just sitting around, and there's this great website called Text Messages from Last Night, and you just post, you can go on this website and post random text messages that you got on your phone. Usually it's from people that were, you know, drunk texting or whatever.
Yeah.
There's some crazy shit that people are doing, and if you only get one line, you're like, what the hell is she talking about?
My favorite is when we're like, there's a party in my mouth, and it feels like everybody's vomiting.
Oh. I posted. So one night, I just, like, every 5 minutes, I'd post them. I'd go into this website, and I would find the most obscure thing, which would just coincide with everything I was doing. So it sounded like I was really bouncing around.
This dog is humping my leg, but I'm going to let him finish because I haven't been laid in weeks.
Yeah, I woke up to my dog humping my leg, but I'm not going to let it stop because I haven't been laid in weeks.
Ah, oh, that's just sick.
But it started off with something like, I woke up wearing Simpsons boxers and a top hat, and I don't know where I am. Right? And so that was, and then I got an acknowledgement on Twitter going, well, look around. I'm looking around. I don't recognize anything. And then there was another one that was like, wow, I don't know where I'm at, but I'm taking a shower, and wherever I am, this shampoo is fantastic. Right? now I'm just showering in somebody's house, and then like later on, it was like the girls across the street saw me take a shower and hang my towel from my penis. They're coming over later, so everybody now I'm getting like people are adding me. They want to follow me and see what the hell's going on. And I had all this. I forgot that I ate a salad before I went drinking last night. And then I was throwing up going, I ate leaves. I can't believe I ate leaves. And the funny part about the story is one of the followers that I have is she runs Annie Bonanni's Wild West Tours. And
oh, yeah, I know her.
So she comes in all the time, and she drops off brochures.
Yes.
Well, she sends me this message. She goes, it's like 2:45 in the morning. She's like, don't you have to work in the morning? I go, I'm not worried about it, right? And so she comes in to drop her brochures off that day, and she walks up to the desk, and she's smiling, and she's shaking her head, and she's like, how are you feeling? I go, I'm good. She goes, really, after all that? I go, it was really complete BS. I had to let her in on it. But, I mean, it was like 45 minutes of me just going out and just tearing up the town. I was drinking. I was having breakfast with strippers. I mean, it was just all over.
I remember that one.
Yeah, it was just all over the place, and it was fun. So Twitter can be fun, but I don't see myself using it a lot.
Yeah, I don't see it.
Yeah, I'm going to the bathroom. Send it through your mobile phone.
Yeah, I'd have a lot of that one.
Yeah.
What did I tell you today? I think I could be a kiln because I'm baking some serious bricks.
Oh man!
So can you do Obama?
No, I'm not doing Obama. No. I don't think he's funny yet.
You don't think he's funny?
Not yet. Yeah, he's gotta like vomit on somebody important.
There's a guy on YouTube that does Obama. He's killer. He's great. I think his name is Jay. You should look on, check it out on YouTube. He's got some parodies of Obama. Obama's gonna today he's gonna take the whiteness test, you know, to see whether or not he's really black or not.
Nice.
You know, and ask him questions. You know, like, well, Mr. Obama, you know, well, let's. What about music? You know, what's your favorite? You know, favorite tune by Bon Jovi? And he's like, well, Bon Jovi, everybody loves Bon Jovi. You know?
Uh-huh.
It's a funny skit. He's got a couple of funny skits on there.
That's good. What about, I don't know, can you? Everybody does Jay Leno. Can you do Jay Leno?
No, I don't do him.
Conan
everybody
O'Brien?
But me. Conan O'Brien. No, no, but I can do it. I mean, Irishman for you.
There you go.
What about Christopher Walken?
Oh, Christopher Walken? Yeah, I haven't tried him in a while. Let's see. I've never done him in my show. I don't really have a bit for him. So if he, you know, he goes, well, I don't understand. What's going on here?
That's perfect. That's it, yeah.
That's all I know.
I need more cowbell.
More cowbell.
That's right. It needs more cowbell.
Bell. Aren't you going to ask him your famous pickle question?
Oh, yeah.
He has a thing with pickles, and
I hate pickles.
Do you?
So you don't like pickles?
No.
You're not a pickle eater?
No.
I'm usually munching a sweet. He's usually chowing down on a dill.
I don't know what that is.
Yeah, but...
Yeah, no, anything pickled, I don't do vinegar. No. It's like I'm allergic to vinegar.
To vinegar in general?
Yeah.
Have you ever killed a wildebeest?
Not lately. No.
Not lately?
Not lately.
Yeah.
It's been a while?
Yeah, it's been a while.
Yeah.
But boy, was it.
Because I need some help with the wombat in the elevator.
The wombat in the elevator.
Yeah. He's out of control right now.
Yeah.
He's out of control.
Bring your mace and take care of him.
At least
for the trip down.
Yeah.
So are you on a 6-year lease over at...
Six-year lease. Yeah, they got me locked down. That's the only reason I took that gig, because I wanted a long term.
Let me rephrase. 6-year probation?
Yeah, there you go.
No, do you have a long term deal over there?
No. It's really. I'm friends with Dixie, and Dixie's got the room. And
do you pay for the room, or do they even know you're there?
Yeah.
Yeah. I know a lot of performers in this town, they four wall the rooms.
Yeah, I'm four walling.
So you do it too.
Yeah.
Four wallets where they have to pay for the room.
Right.
Right.
They have
so many.
That's what I did down at Fitzgerald's too.
Like Wayne Newton does that, and like I think Reed Ledner does.
Yeah. Pretty
that.
Much everybody does.
Yeah.
Almost everybody now. The casinos don't pay performers anymore, unless you're a major headliner. You know, like Celine.
That's
weird.
That just fascinates me.
It's bizarre.
Money,
it's horrible.
The money
it's terrible
that they
they've
make,
done that.
I think that's so.
Right.
You know?
Well, you know what? It's funny that you bring that up though, because I remember talking to one of Lance's assistants and. I asked him how much Lance needs to sell to cut even. And he shows me a theater map, and he says, you see about the first 10 rows? Or it was like the first 10 rows? I was like, yeah. He says, that's it. Everything else is his. There's 1,200 seats. He only needs
right.
to sell like 300 seats for him to cut even.
Wow.
Yeah.
How much are tickets?
$71. Now they're even more. They're $71 and $77. But back then when I asked, it was
$62. But those are for VIP? That's for VIP, though, the first.
Yeah, that's just the main floor.
The main right. floor.
Yeah.
Oh.
And there's a lot of comp seats in there.
How many seats would that be? 300?
Yeah, in the first, probably. Yeah, it's like maybe 300 seats, 250, 300 seats in the first 10 rows.
So let's figure that's $21,000.
$21,000.
That's $21,000 a day, so you could do the math.
Yeah.
So that should cover the rent.
Yeah, it should cover it.
If they're full price tickets.
So figure that, though, $300 seats, right? He's got a 1,200 seat theater, and I've seen him sell it out several times.
Right. He gets a lot of timeshare comps in there too. They're not comps, but they're wholesale tickets.
Yeah.
Wholesale.
You know, we didn't used to when that timeshare thing started. Man, that pissed us off. We hate timeshares.
Yeah. Well, Tahiti Village is gone now. So.
Yep.
Yeah. What's up? What's the deal with that?
They went belly up.
I know David Sachs has got to be hurting off that. As it was in the paper, he said you know they owed him $100,000.
Wow.
And supposedly it was. 40% of his showroom was from the time
and
they pushed
him. Free 2-for-1
buffet. Because he used to go, you know, he offered them a really good deal on these wholesale tickets, and they, you know, the more they get, the less cost for them, the more they get to keep.
Exactly.
They buy a lot of his tickets. You know,
we were one day looking at old pictures of Vegas and the old billboards and stuff, and we were laughing because it would be like lobster dinner $1.50.
Yeah.
Like back in 1970. Too,
right.
You know,
yeah.
Was, you know, at Bally's and stuff, it was like, wow. And we
didn't
were
yeah,
see
Vegas
a performer.
Is really, you know.
Hi there, this is Tom Lehrer, and you're listening to the Crazy J Show.
But didn't we see a sign for a performer that was on then, that is still on today?
Well, Jubilee was there.
Yeah,
in one of the pictures, and
right. And these days, even just to go to, you know, to if you're at a major resort, if you go to the bar to get a drink, you know, you can't get $2 drinks anymore.
Nope.
You know, you can't get a $3. It's, you know, it's $5-6. You know,
Greek Isles on Wednesday, dollar beers.
But you go to like a nightclub, $10.
Yeah, the Greek Isles.
Yeah,
that place is a dump though. Jeez.
Yeah, but for a dollar beer, you don't care.
Ellis Island dollar beer, also a dump.
They have karaoke over there.
They may be a dump, but they have real walls.
Oh,
they
that's
do.
It. We gotta totally. You gotta come out with us to do karaoke. That'd be awesome.
It'd be fun.
That'd be great.
We do karaoke all the time. You can actually go up and sing like Neil Diamond.
Yeah.
Do Neil Diamond in your act.
Yes.
See, my mom was a huge Neil Diamond fan.
Yeah.
So I just grew up.
That is exactly how you could totally just. That's a whole new.
That's
clientele.
one of my good voices, I think. Neil Diamond.
Neil
I do
Diamond.
That.
Yeah, but it was forced upon me.
Yeah.
Neil Diamond. My mom had every single album, and I went to a couple of concerts with her. And one of the funniest things, my mom had this Neil Diamond shirt. We went out to Magic Mountain one day, and a security guard saw my mom wearing the shirt. I think we were actually going to go see. We were seeing Weird Al play it. At Magic Mountain, and the security guard tells my mom, "Oh yeah, I've seen all of his movies." And the security walks by. My mom just turned and looked at me. She goes, "He's done one." I've seen them all.
Seen them all.
All one of them.
Yeah, he did jazz singer. That was it.
Right.
He just watched the Cross-Eyed, so it seemed like two.
Yeah. So you know Jay White, obviously.
I know Jay White.
White's a great guy.
Yeah, Jay White's been working on a musical related to the life of Neil Diamond.
Oh,
right. Yeah, he kind of mentioned something like he's supposed to be coming on. It's been a while since he's been on the show.
Yeah, he's great.
Yeah, my mom saw him and I told him that she was coming to the show and I go, she's a big fan and she'll see right through it. She'll see any flaw. And she went in there and he had a table set in the front and some couple roses and. I was like, you can flatter her with roses all you want, but if you don't sound like Neil Diamond, she's not buying it. And then she got him, she was dancing, and she was like, I closed my eyes. It was like really being there. And,
oh, cool.
Yeah, and she gave him a big hug after the show. And my mom passed away last August, and I actually went and told him because he really liked my mom. She saw the show like 3 or 4 times, and I had to tell him. He goes, oh, that's terrible, you know. And that's, yeah, but yeah, he's awesome. I have to say for – and I had a lady the other day. She thought Neil Diamond was actually here. She was like, I might get tickets to Neil Diamond at the Riviera. I go, you mean Jay White? She was like, no, Neil Diamond. I go, well, he's a Jay White. I said, Jay White is a Neil Diamond impersonator. So it's not the real deal? I said, no. And she goes, oh, well, never mind. And I was like, but he's awesome. Like, his show's really good. Like, even if you don't really like Neil Diamond that much, he'll get you into the show because he does. I mean, I don't think he does a song you don't know that Neil Diamond does.
Yeah, if you like Neil Diamond's music, it's a great show.
Yeah.
You know, if you're some, you got an antithesis against Neil Diamond for some reason. I don't know why you would, but,
anything bad, right?
And, I mean, I was really surprised with the location of your show. I mean, it's still kind of off the strip, but it's so close to the strip. But
yeah.
I was surprised the night we went. I mean, how many people were there?
Yeah, we do all right sometimes.
That was kind of impressive. I was like, wow, for, you know, a show. I mean, I've sold a few here and there throughout the show, but to see that, I mean, like I said, 50 to 75 people is what your room holds, and
right.
I think every seat was full the night we were there, so I mean, it was...
Yeah, I think it was, we're busy.
And everybody was having fun. There wasn't any, like, I hate going to a show and there's sour pusses.
Yeah.
I tell you.
Just get into it. You spent the money, you know, it's just like, it's... We went to Fab Four Live, right? And a prime example, we took my buddy Nick, and here's this guy that's, you know, 19, 20 years old, just having the greatest time. You know, it's the Beatles. You appreciate the Beatles for what they were.
Oh, yeah, always.
This woman is sitting next to us with her arms folded, and she looks at me and she goes, is he going to sing every song? And I was like, he's just having a good time. She goes, is he even old enough to know who they are? I'm like...
Oh my God.
And I wanted to look at her and go, that's the most ignorant statement.
He's obviously singing along now, isn't he?
But I'm like, that's an ignorant statement to say, does he even know who they are? I mean, the technology these days, you can find out like that. Who are the Beatles? Bam! And it's like, dude, he's 19. He appreciates, you know, these guys changed.
Right. Yeah. Not all, and not all young kids are into, you know, rap and, you know, Eminem and all just that kind of stuff.
Yeah. And
you
know. So I hate going to a show and there's just, they're not having a good time. I don't
care. Do you remember when we went to Monster Circus?
Oh, yeah.
I kept yelling out, Flock of Seagulls! I don't know why. I just had to do it.
Yeah, I never got to see that.
That was good. A great show. Dee Schneider, I went twice, and Dee Schneider both. First time we went, came running up the aisles, and he's doing We're Not Gonna Take It, and he freaking puts his arm around me and like makes me sing in the mic with him. So that was awesome, because here I was like, you know, 14, 15 when that song first came out. You know,
yeah.
Here's this guy that you know, and it's like, he didn't care, man. He was jumping in the crowd, and he was hugging people, and he was like, wow, I'm really glad to see you guys, and thank you for appreciating, you know, this, you know, because this music's not around like that.
I saw something in a paper about it. That he was saying Dee Schneider was one of the most energetic 50-something-year-olds he'd ever seen.
That guy was jumping around, and I was like, I can't believe that guy's 56 years old.
He's a big dude, isn't he?
Yeah, he's like 6'1". I mean, he's awesome. It was a great show.
Cracking some
and
good
the Hilton
things
got
for him.
Rid of it. The Hilton didn't want it.
Well, I'm sure it was a four-wall, and they weren't selling enough tickets.
But, I mean, it was
full. We went.
It was packed. I mean, both nights I went, it was packed. Hilton, I guess the Monster Circus people are...
Which
like,
room was it in?
The big one.
And the big one, really?
Barry Manilow.
Wow. They probably just wasn't the type of people that they want in their establishment.
Right. That's funny. The first night we went, I swear to God, there was a woman in line. She was like 80 years old. And I told my friend, I was like, Krista, I swear to God, this is a prime example of somebody that probably gambles a lot and is getting a comp, and she has no idea what the show is for.
What it is.
Right? It's a freebie. So go see this show. So she's sitting literally in the row in front of us, and I'm like, this when these amplifiers turn on, they're going to blow her head off. I swear to God. She's like 85. And,
her
and,
way, like,
and it started, and she sat there, and she was, you know. And Dee Schneider comes out and he starts singing We're Not Gonna Take It, and this old broad gets up and she's like going like this. She had to be like at least 40 or something when this song came out, and she was just like pumping her fist. I mean, she was like, yeah, and I was like, holy crap.
Wow.
That could be my grandma rocking out the Twisted Sister.
That's awesome.
And it was awesome. So, I mean, that's why I really don't understand. If you're gonna spend, I don't care if it's $20, you're spending $20, go have fun.
Yeah, see a good show. Well, see Larry G. Jones.
Well, as a performer, see, and you know who knows what's going on in the room, I could tell you that generally the people who are paid audiences versus the free audiences, they act better.
Really?
They applaud better. You know, they're there. You know,
they made an investment.
Yeah.
You know, into this.
Absolutely.
And they realize, you know, look, if we have some. You know, if we get into it, it's going to be more fun. You know, whereas you got a completely free audience. Sometimes it's like,
when he was doing his show, I mean, he's
a total dick, right? The whole time, sitting like this.
No, we
we
were jumping around. We were having a good time. We had a good time. It was fun in that show. And I don't think there was anybody like, because he'd go around with a mic and you know get people to do stuff. And I don't think there was anybody in there who just didn't want to be there.
Oh, you know, when I pick on the one guy in the front row. Right, do I do the Johnny Mathis, is all sweet on him, and then the Tina Turner, private dancer, I got a garter on my leg and stuff.
Yeah, that was funny.
And awesome. And for the first time ever, I've done like 1,700 shows in Vegas, the guy who I was picking on got up and left. First he moved over two seats, and then I went after him again. And he got up and left. Yeah, and it was his brother was sitting there next to him.
Oh,
and his brother stayed for the whole rest of the show.
I love that when they get embarrassed. Prime example, like Bobby Slayton, when he was at Hooters, like third time I'd ever seen the show over there, he used to have a 20-minute like video of like some of the other comedians talking about you know how crappy he is that he's at the Hooters, you know. And the video is just like two minutes in, and I think it was just Robin Williams, just, I don't know, I think he said fuck, something like that, I'm not quite sure. This old guy got up and left, and I said, wow, Bobby, that's pretty impressive. He said, what do you mean? I go, they left your show and you weren't even on stage.
That's a record somewhere.
Yeah, that's got to, call Guinness.
Call Guinness right now.
But, I mean, your show is a lot of fun, and we'll definitely
Robin Williams says, I remember that video, he says, Bobby Clayton's so tough, he castrated himself.
Yeah. He's so tough.
Yeah, he's so tough, he castrated
That's
himself.
That's awesome.
But your show again is
9 p.m. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
Yeah, Sunday through Wednesday.
Sunday through Wednesday.
And 9 p.m. I work all those days. But you know, we get off at 8.
We do.
Come down.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Check out the show.
Absolutely. Yes. When we have, oh, you know, we have a new promotion going.
Ooh, is it buy one ticket, get a free medium nacho?
Well, we always have,
somebody's gonna do
we
it
always
one
have,
day.
We always have two for one for locals.
Oh, cool.
Military get in free with your any sort of military ID.
Oh,
and
nice.
And we're trying to raise awareness. Casino employees get in for free.
Whoa.
Yeah. We try to encourage, of course, the concierge and stuff like that.
So
first
you
and foremost,
show,
the frontline people,
your,
you know.
Just show your...
yep, show your
ID
casino
or
ID or badge, you know. Bring a friend as well. Yeah, you both get in.
That's cool. Now that's a good way
yeah.
to promote.
Yeah.
That's how you do
bus
it.
Bus drivers, cab drivers, taxi drivers.
Now, when you talk about, like, four-walling the room, do the comps help?
Well, the comps help when people, you know, like if it's a slow night, you know. If you got 20 tickets sold and you got, you know, room that seats three times that much, you want to be able to have
fillers.
You get the seat fillers in there, and every casino does it.
Yeah, and it makes it, and it looks a lot better, makes the show more.
Yeah, it makes it more fun for me, for them, for, you know, for everybody.
Yeah,
I know it's got to be frustrating when you look out there and there's a bunch of empty seats.
Yeah,
there.
Have you ever had a show where
right.
there's just like only a handful of people, or? I would hope not, but I mean, is it ever?
Oh, yeah, this happened, sure. Yeah,
and do
sure
you still
happened.
Like? Do you feel like you still put out the same energy, or?
I do the same show. Yeah,
that's awesome.
Yeah. It helps me. I'll still do the same show, but it helps me get through it when they're responding back. You
yeah,
know?
Yeah.
It's like otherwise, it's like I'll still do it. Then when it's over, I'm like, oh man, am I drained? It's like, that took everything. It's like you know.
Yeah.
Wow. Every once in a while, you know, you get an audience that's just dead, you know. But then they come out and they go, oh, yeah, great show. I'm like, wow, you were so quiet.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, it makes you want to cry. And they're, like, telling you how great it was. And you're like, what? Why did you act like it was great? You know, they just sit there. And some audience are just quiet. They sit and smile.
Right.
They sit and smile. Get
yeah,
light applause now and then, you know, but nobody, you know, and it just takes a couple, you know, you need one or two people to laugh out loud, you know, and
to get everybody to feel
get it going, yeah, to get it going, and it just takes a couple people, and then the rest will join in.
Like a slow clap.
Until you break that barrier, then there's this level of uncomfortableness. Well, I don't want to be the first one to you know to break into this thing, to break into applause. What if everybody else doesn't? You know, but if everybody's doing it, everybody wants to do it, you know, because it's more fun.
Yeah.
You know.
It's always like when you go to the nightclubs and nobody's dancing because they're waiting for the one.
Yeah.
Right. Uh-huh.
They're waiting for the one. To
right.
Go.
Yeah. So they can conform.
Yeah. And then they...
And their striped
yep.
shirt.
Yeah. same sort of thing. Yeah. Nobody wants to be the first.
Yeah.
They want to join in.
Yeah. That's why people are always late.
Yeah. And they
want to
do it.
Yep.
Yeah. They want to do it, but they just don't want to be
the first.
Right.
So,
yeah.
But it's awesome, man. Your show's great. And people should come and check it out. Check out your website, LarryGJones.com. You're on Facebook.
Facebook,
Twitter.
YouTube, Twitter. Twitter, I'm under Vegas Comedian. Look that up, you'll find me.
I'll find you.
And we got Man of 1,002 Voices. That's my channel, 1,002 Voices on YouTube. Got a whole channel on there.
I'm Junk McGee.
Junk McGee?
Yeah, actually, I am. You don't find me under my real name. I don't know why I did it, but yeah, Junk McGee. Yeah, that's me.
What are you, just Crazy J?
Crazy J.
And my MySpace is Don't Tase Me, Bro.
I think I've seen that.
Yeah.
Okay, I think we're friends. Yeah.
I've
seen that.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Don't Tase Me. That's seen. That's funny. That's funny. I remember thinking, it stuck in my head. I was like, that's funny. Let's friend this person.
He looks like he's going to have a good time.
Right. That's right.
But so I want to thank you for being here. I know we went a little long, but we had fun.
Yeah, thanks, man.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming by. And I will definitely come and check out your show. Definitely come anytime. Go karaoke with us. Maybe we'll take him to pole position.
Now that I got the hookup.
That's right.
Yeah. Oh, you got a hookup. Oh, okay.
That's right.
Nice.
They owed us. As many times we've gone down and erased those freaking cars.
And yeah.
Yeah.
I'm serious. Don't get in my way.
Where's that at?
Out of the road.
So on Arville and Flamingo, right by the Palms.
Okay.
Arville and Flamingo.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah. Without the fried rice.
Yeah, we love the Asians that come and they want to see Ka. They can't say it, so they're like, what's your ticket? It's a K-A.
Yeah,
K-A. Yeah. And they can't say Ka.
Yeah.
No, Baraggio.
Yeah, we went to Baraggio. There's no R's in Baragio.
Yeah. Baragio, what is it? Is that a restaurant? I don't know. Yeah. Is that a foreign dish? Dessert? I'm not sure.
Chinatown's on Spring Mountain.
Yeah.
Love sat alone in a boggy marsh. Totally motionless except for her heart. Mud flowed up in her lump's pajamas. She totally confused all the passing piranhas. She's up, she's up.
I think we got hacked. I don't know what this song is. I've never heard it a day in my life. Somebody just comes in here and downloads music. This would be a great song. Let's put it on the Rock Comedy Show. Really? Have you ever heard of Elliot Smith? No, neither have I. But this is him. I think Scanlon's been here. This is the kind of stuff he likes. Hey, let's give it up for Larry G. Jones. Yay. You want to talk? Do you want to talk?
There you go.
Let's give it up for Larry G. Jones. Woo! Oh, it's good stuff. Oh, man. Got to say, you got to keep this going. Yeah, I'm trying to do stuff, and you got to...
Balls? You got to say balls.
I don't want to say balls.
Yes, you do.
Balls.
You said it.
Balls.
You heard it here first. You heard it from the Rockin' Comedy Show first. J equals balls. Okay.
Yeah, speaking of, Scanlon and all that, we've had... If you're in the Vegas area, and I know there's thunderstorms happening everywhere, but there's nothing like a desert thunderstorm with lightning and,
it's very spectacular.
I mean, in a matter of seconds, you can just, have a flash
really
flood.
Goes from, dry, arid, to next thing you know, you're sticky, covered in marshmallows.
And in the last couple of days, we've had some unbelievable lightning shows. I mean, almost just like fireworks. I mean, it's been pretty badass. our boss at the Monte Carlo was telling me the other day
about his armpit stain.
No, but he said he was like, "Hey, did you witness a lightning storm last night?" I said, "Yeah." He goes, "Yeah, I was down at Boulder Basin, down at Lake Mead." Now I know he was with his girlfriend.
Sure.
But for some reason, when he was proceeding to tell me this story that they were down there at Boulder Basin watching the lightning storm, and it was just so calm, and the rain started, and for some reason, I just started laughing.
Little droplets falling on their face.
But for some reason...
causing tingles on their skin.
For some reason, he's telling me this story, and I'm not picturing Sonya in his arms. I'm picturing Scanlan.
Dust blowing around.
Scanlan.
Nipping at their ears.
I have him, like, Scanlan laid out on this blanket and been feeding him grapes and cheese, and they're sharing wine, you know, and, you know, in the distance, you know, you hear this song, you know, just...
They're running down the beach.
They're running down the beach. It's like almost slow motion.
A flock of white-winged birds take flight.
Why do birds suddenly appear every time you are near?
And I don't know why. I don't know why. I was picturing this, but as he's telling me the story about them being down on the Boulder Basin, I was picturing all this stuff, you know, just going behind Chris and just massaging his neck ever so gently and
sweet
kissing him softly on the back of the neck.
Why can't I quit you?
Yeah, why can't I quit you? I don't know. And he's like, and I guess I made it like known that I thought what he was telling me was funny. And he's like, what's so funny? Nothing.
Nothing.
And this whole time I just picture Scanlan getting ready for the date.
Oh yeah. Doing all of his shaving.
I'm done.
Oh, that chest looks good.
That is why.
And I just picture him hand in hand, just running down the shoreline of Lake Mead, splashing in the water.
Some birds fly by and are like, what the?
And they dive right into the ocean and kill themselves.
Landing the rocks below.
Scanlan. I'm so glad you could be here to share this moment with me.
Ooh.
At long last, it's just you and I and this bottle of wine.
This box of wine.
So I don't know why. I don't know why I thought of that.
Got you eyebrows.
I have no idea why I thought of that when he was telling me the story, but goddamn, it's funny.
You know what? You can find truth in very mysterious ways.
This is true. That's very true. So, we've got a how-to.
Yeah, did I ever tell you about the time I found a turtle in my pants?
No.
No?
No.
Yeah, it was very weird.
This isn't a joke?
No, this is not a joke.
Serious?
I found a turtle in my pants.
Nice.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was definitely a turtle.
It was definitely a turtle?
It was definitely a turtle. A few more squeezes, though, and a good flush, it was gone.
I knew it wasn't a real turtle.
Oh, it was real.
No, it was not.
It was a snapping. It was a snapping kind. Stupid. It was, and it had claws.
Stupid.
Yeah, it was. My anus hurt for a week after that one.
Your anus hurt? I'm not even going to go. Was that because you had the blow dart?
Yeah.
Somebody was taking your temperature.
So ridiculous.
Somebody was taking your temperature.
No, that's just silly, Jay. All right, ladies and gents.
All right, so we're doing this?
Folks and yokes.
Folks and yokes.
This is the deal. I'm going to do something that I've never done before in the history of this show.
And what's that?
I'm going to give you guys a how-to.
Yeah, all right.
Enjoy it. This is for you out there. This is your little treat. Your little snack for the
now,
week.
Now, I understand. Not only is it the first time you've done a how-to, but you're just going to wow us.
I'm just going to totally just... It's going to be a real zinger.
Nice.
A real humdinger for you guys out there. Because I'm about to give you some old school knowledge right now. I'm about to totally throw... I'm going to drop some knowledge. Okay? right into your brain pan. and you're going to be like, scramble that bitch. You know?
You know how you go in and you order eggs at a restaurant? You know, you're just like, how would you like your eggs? You're sunny side up, over easy, whatever. I almost got the lady the other day when she goes, how do you want your eggs? I'm like, cooked. She was like, see, no.
What were we today? We were like, how do you want your eggs? Like my women, cheap and runny.
Yellow and boiled.
Yellow and boiled. Yeah. Hopefully not like my ex and rotten.
Yeah. Did I ever tell you the time that my brother blew up a boiled egg
in the microwave? I didn't know you could even do that.
You can't.
Yeah. Not anymore.
I came home from work. It was like 12:30 in the morning, and I go, "What are you still doing up?" And he was like, I'm boiling an egg. And I look out of the kitchen, there's the stove, and I'm like,
where's the egg, dude?
There's no pot. He goes, oh, that's cool, dude. I'm doing it in the microwave. I go, you can't boil an egg in the microwave? He goes, no, you can. I was like, all right. So I go down the hall to my room. I'm freaking changing my clothes. Kid you not, like no more than 45 seconds, I hear, it fucking burned! It fucking burned! And I go out to the kitchen, and he didn't really let it cool. Now, when it's in the microwave, it's going to expand a little bit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, the heat has nowhere to go. So he cooled it real quick under the water. And then he smacked it, and it just, he had egg shrapnel, I swear to God, all up to the front of his shirt. And it was all on his cheeks. And he was dancing around because it burnt so bad. And he had pieces of egg everywhere. And it was the trash can. And then there was a debris of egg up on the side of the wall from the trash can.
Everywhere.
And I left it, you know. And it smelled really bad. Like, he burnt it. Yeah, it's really hard to burn an egg. Yeah. And I got up in the morning, and I get a cup of coffee. And my mom was like, what's that smell? I said, oh, that's, you know, Stuart boiled an egg in the microwave. You can't do that.
I know.
She's like, well, how did it happen? I go, well, the boy has to learn.
Yeah.
And she's like, well, clean it up. So why do I have to clean it up? She goes, because you allowed him to do it, and you're old enough to stop it. And I was like, oh, geez. So I clean up the mess, and he gets up to get ready to go to school. And my mom doesn't miss a beat. And he's sitting there getting some cereal, and she goes, oh, no. Let me get you an egg and show you the proper way to make it.
Yeah, seriously. Speaking of making a mess.
Yeah.
Last night, me and my brother, we stopped by Walmart, and we get some rock stars, right?
Right.
And so my brother, we put everything in my trunk. My brother goes to grab the bag, and mine, it's the purple one. I call it purple drink. And it falls out of the bag. And it goes rolling down the street. My brother goes chasing after it. Down my driveway. The second it hits the street, it explodes like a little pinprick.
Right.
And it's still spinning. So it's hitting my brother like a machine gun. And he's still trying to go for it. So he's all, do-do-do-do-do-do-do. My brother was completely covered in Rockstar. He's all, man. I was like, why on earth did you try keep picking it up if it exploded, dude? You just kept following it. Just wait for it to finish. You know, whatever.
Before we get into the how-to.
Oh, it was Man Bear guy.
Turbo Man Bear's IMing me, and I'm telling him, you know, we're finishing up the show. And he's telling me that he's having a pretty bad day. And
car stopped working.
He says... I said, oh, you know, Mike's here and we're finishing up the show. He goes, cool. Hey, I was really mad at my iPod because it kept downloading an old show. I thought it was new. I was bummed, of course, but I still laugh. And he goes, but it kept downloading the old one, and I know that you posted a new one. Yes, but it was a best of because we were off last week.
Right.
So that's why he's getting it. And then he said, well, no fun for me. I'll be working all day Saturday. Maybe I'll hit the gym up with you guys if I don't have a heart attack. And then I says, when I told him that we had the week off. And he's like, oh, so that's why I loaded it. And I said, yeah, we'll have a new show up by Saturday. Then he says, what's a man taco?
Right, yeah. Well.
And I said, is that like, and he goes, is that like taco salad? I said, what are you talking about, weirdo? How do I know? I said, Mike's the taco expert.
Yeah, you know, I've been around the block.
Just, I don't know what I'm talking about. It sounds cool, though. I go, was it on a show we did? Question mark. Yeah. I have no idea.
Could have been.
He said, no, I'm just being gay. I said, like always. He goes, me? Never. I go, only when drunk.
Only when drunk, of
He
course.
Said, nah, just asexual. And I, he goes, I prefer myself. I said, that's because no one else does. He said, aha, no one gets a chance. I'm not even available to friends and family 95% of the time. He said, but they have a chance. Sure they do. The girls all stare at me and they think, oh my God, is that the Turbo Man Bear? Oh my God, I can't talk to him. He's too amazing. I'm not good enough.
That's exactly right. Now, had they paid attention on how to escape a Turbo Man Bear, they'd be able to throw up some signs, you know?
Right.
They'd know.
And they could wear their Turbo Man Bear belt.
Their Man Bear belt. Around their hoo-has.
All right, let's do this out, too.
Oh,
we're getting distracted.
That happens so easily.
I know it does.
Why do suddenly appear every time Man Bear's near? Yeah, man. With his man taco.
All right, so let's do this.
Ladies and gentlemen, how many times, let's create a scenario right now. You're in the woods. There's a mountain, okay? You're climbing it because
that's what you do.
What you do in the woods, and there is no McDonald's on this side. It's on the other side of the mountain. You don't want to go around. You're hungry right now. So you're going to climb. You're going to climb, people. But, you didn't go to the bathroom before you left.
Right.
You're working on a Tankus Maximus, okay?
Tankus Maximus.
It's heading your way. You're feeling it going downtown, Charlie Brown. You don't want to leave a soggy. You don't want to get soggy bottoms, okay?
Right.
You don't want to weigh yourself down with a little extra load, okay? You don't need an extra Baby Ruth bar just kind of hanging around.
We get it.
You don't need a little Hershey Kiss in your sock.
You don't need a turtle in the cave. We got it.
Yeah, you don't want a snapping turtle kicking and fighting and screaming its way out of your bloody anus.
No prairie dogs.
Yeah.
We got it.
No jukebox Charlies.
We get it.
Okay.
So what do?
You make a poop tube.
Oh, nice.
And I'm going to teach you how, folks. I'm going to save your dang life right now.
A poop tube.
I'm changing your dang life, okay? You're going to be out at Desert Fest, and you're going to be like, thank God I have this poop tube. Mike showed me this, and it just saved my dang life, okay?
Poop tube.
There's two different ways to poop tube, okay? First off, there's the PVC pipe method, okay? Now, this is a little old school for you old schoolers out there, okay? Because even you old schools like to dump, okay?
Right.
First off, you got to cut about a 4-inch piece, 10 centimeters for all my folks that live in Europia land, okay? And Russia, Canavia, and China, Slovakia, okay? So you want to cut it to your desired length, okay? Now that should be pretty much dependent on your own toilet routines, you know? If you're one of those $5 footlongs, you know, you're going to need a bigger tube. I remember this one time, I dropped this bomb, man. It was so big, it was like the Great Wall of China. You could see it from orbit, okay? So that's like an extreme, that's like an oddity, you know?
Right.
So you want to go with what your average is, you know? Maybe, do you eat like a bird? Maybe you just leave little pellets. You know, some people do that. Maybe you average a 4-incher. You know, maybe you're a good 4-incher. This is what I recommend, folks. Right now, the next time you go to the bathroom, bring a ruler. You know, that's the only way you're going to know. All you got to do is bring a net.
Do you really need to know?
I think you know what? If you want to make it right, you know, if you want to make sure you get the right length in this thing, you want to make sure that when you're out there and you are 100% ready for poop survival,
But your poop length could change every time.
So average it out. You know, do this for the next, like, 3 days, you know. Just get a little fish.
Do it a couple days before the hike.
And this is what I recommend. You get one of those that are for tailors, you know, one of those loose ones. That way you can measure its width and its girth, you see. That way you kind of have an idea on both, you know, if you want to get it on all dimensions, you know. Now, of course, this is the other thing, too, I guess. You can always, like, mush it into a ball if it's really too big, you know. I wouldn't touch it with your hands, though. Maybe with your elbows. You know, because nobody eats with their elbows. You don't shake hands with elbows. You don't climb with elbows. So you can touch poop with elbows. That's okay. You can elbow poop all you want. You can play, like, poop elbow volleyball, and I'd be cool with it. I wouldn't think less of you. I think, yeah, hey, that guy's, he's just touching poop with his elbows. He's still okay in my book. Okay, so Inex, don't interrupt me, Jay. Okay? Now, okay. And now,
I just don't understand why you need to make the tubes, the poop tube.
What if you're climbing a wall and all of a sudden you're hot to trot, man?
So you take a bag, hold it over your ass, take a shit in the bag.
No, that's just silly. Who shits in a bag? What if you get a hole in it? You're climbing the rocks. They're sharp and pointy. What if it breaks? You got shit all over your pant leg, you know? It's on your tie. What are you doing wearing a tie to begin with?
Yeah, right.
You're out in the ocean, on rocks, ocean rocks.
Right.
They're there. I've seen them. Okay? And now you got poop on your tie, because you pooped in a bag like an idiot.
Sorry.
Yeah.
It's just a simple question.
Well, you got a very simple answer. Okay? You don't do it. It says so right here. Now, but there is, for those who do want to use a bag and not a tube, I'll have a little bit for you in a second. In the meantime, let me help my old school poop tubers figure out how to finish making one of these PVC launch tubes, okay? Next. Also, now, you want to cut it depending on how long you're going to be, you know, back country, okay? Because it's really going to depend as to how big you make it, because, you know, people poop more than once. And I poop sometimes a couple of times. I haven't pooped in a couple of days. I'm a little nervous, but that's all right. I'll go. I'll work it out. Don't worry about me. I'll be fine. 6 to 10 inches is normally a good length. So if you don't have the ability, maybe...
We're still talking about the poop?
Yeah. Now,
tube?
The poop tube, right. The tube, you want 6 to 10 inches. Now, if for those 3 days you can't measure it out because you have diarrhea or...
So it really is about the size of the poop tube.
It really is. It really is. Maybe you had an abundantly large amount of corn, you know, and it's just messing with it or whatever. Just 6 to 10 inches. Just, I would go 10. I'd play it safe, you know. I'd play it safe. Next, you want to glue a solid cap to one end of the tubing. Obviously, you don't want to poop in one end just to have it fall out the other side. That kind of defeats the purpose, okay? You want to glue a threaded fitting to the other end. Tie a length of cord to the screw cap and tether it to the tube.
Yeah, you know, I can see this really working.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Is if you had diarrhea.
Yeah, you'd be able to tube right into it pretty easy.
Yeah.
Somebody needs to make one of these and then take a picture and send it to us. So we know.
Why don't we make it?
Does fucking Home Depot written across my forehead? I have no fucking clue what
I'm talking
about.
Well, we're doing the how-to. Why don't we do it? And then we'll take a picture of it.
We're going to do it. We're going to do it. We need to hire a Mexican.
No, we'll just get Zach and Rhonda to do it.
Hey! There you go.
Tell them that we need them to make us a poop tube.
Yeah, we'll give them this. We'll give them it. We'll just lay it right on them.
Yeah.
We're going to drop this.
We're going to do it. If you're listening, Zach...
We're going to drop
you
this
knowledge.
You have
an assignment. You have an assignment.
And it ain't a Baby Ruth bar.
That ain't corn. Okay, next. Well, what you do, now this is it. This is how you actually use the poop tube, okay? What you do is you're going to drop off your production, okay, in a basket-style coffee filter. You can pick those up at your local grocery store, okay? Then you just place the whole filter in the tube. This way is a lot easier than trying to aim for a 4-inch tube, okay? I have a friend. He is 450 pounds.
I'm not that big.
No. When he uses the toilet at my house, there is literally shit everywhere. Because he cannot see anything. There is crap on the toilet lid. There is crap on the toilet seat. There is crap running down the toilet itself. He literally just...
Every time? Every time?
Every time? Every time. It's fairly gross, okay? So, I cannot imagine him aiming for a 4-inch tube unless he just crammed it up there. Which I don't recommend, by the way. Okay, now, for Mr. Bag Hole over here, there is what's called the dry bag method. Okay? What do you use? You use a converted dry bag as a lighter, less bulky alternative to the old school PVC poop tube. Now, the poop bag technique has become increasingly more popular, okay, with big wall climbers. Okay? Now, what you're going to do is you're just going to place some kitty litter at the bottom of the bag to help absorb the excess moisture and odor. Now, the thing is there's a lot of different brands of kitty litter, right?
Right.
I like Tidy Scoop. You know? Because you ever see the thing in the cat and he boos it and then the flowers appear? That's cool. You know? You could probably do the same thing. You just poop and then just shake it a little bit and, like, you'll get the flowers to appear. Right? That's what I mean. That sounds pretty cool to me.
The flowers aren't real. It's just to tell you that it's making an odor. It's making it a fresh smell. You're not going to see the flowers.
Really?
Yeah.
No.
Yes.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Oh, dude, that sucks.
You honestly believe that when the cat puts its paw in the litter and moves it back, you're
going to... Yeah, the flowers appear. It's in every commercial. Commercials don't lie.
Oh, yes, they do.
Commercials never lie.
Don't get me started on commercials.
There's really no... You want to do the flowers?
No.
Do you think it smells like flowers, at least?
Well, I'm sure...
I feel like I've been living a lie my whole life.
It smells good. It smells...
So you sniffed it?
I have cats, Mike.
I'm not talking about their poop. I'm talking about
the litter smells
the
nice.
Tidy Scoop.
The litter smells nice.
It does smell pretty good, though?
Yes.
Yeah? So if you were to poop in it, do you think it would hide the smell?
Probably.
Yeah? We could test it.
I'm not going to test it.
We could test it out. We could find out. We'll get some Tidy Scoop.
Wait, can we hurry?
And we could try, like, a generic brand, too.
Can we finish this?
You know? I bet you, does the thing taste like flowers?
Would you come on?
Okay, I was just wondering now, because I'm trying to figure out why they put the flowers in the picture if it's not really there.
It's just to show you that it's fresh.
It's to show me that it's fresh?
Yeah.
This cat just took a shit. It's not fresh.
No, but it comes out. Oh, it's fresh.
Yeah, that's fresh.
Oh, it's fresh.
Okay, so next, what you're going to do is you're going to clip a carabiner to the bag and tape it in place so the poop bag can be easily attached to your haul bag. Because you got to carry it around with you.
I'm leaving it. I'm not taking it anywhere.
No, the thing is because you're going to need to use it multiple times throughout your extended stay on your rock-filled adventure, okay? So you don't want to just poop and leave it around because it'll smell bad, one. Two, it will... What if you poop and like a dog comes by or like a fox or a turtle and they eat it? You could kill them. They're going to be like, that tastes so bad. They could literally just die from eclectic shock. You could contaminate the ozone and send electromagnetic smells into the troposphere that could cause a lot of dragonflies to eat their young. And then we have no more dragonflies, all because... Thanks, Jay, because you decided to poop on the fucking floor. Awesome. Thank you very much. Okay? Use the poop bag. All right? Next. Carry a little kitty litter with you because it'll cut back on that smell. So I really recommend, even in the poop tube, why not? Bring it with you. If you get hungry, it might make a good snack. Okay? Dispose of your waste responsibly. Don't just shit on the floor, Jay. You might want to take... This is not a bad idea. Take some toilet paper. Don't just try to wipe your ass with leaves, okay? You don't know where that leaf's been, okay? What if some crazy worm just had some, like, mad worm sex on it, you know? Now you're getting worm love all over your butthole. So let's be careful about what exactly we decide to wipe our ass with, okay? Stick with the toilet paper. The bears like it in the commercials. Commercials don't lie. Bears like it. You like it. Turbo Man Bear, he probably likes it, too. Next. For the dry bag. Ooh, this is good. Poop in a paper bag, which you then place in the dry bag. So don't just shit directly into the dry bag. That'll probably be a bitch to clean. That would really suck. You know what? That'd be interesting. Just shit in a dry bag and then take it to a dry cleaner to let them steam clean it. They'll be like, what the fuck is that smell? Smells like shit. Steamy. Shit. Next. Aiming can be difficult, particularly for a 4-inch hold. Try to get close to the tube when taking a dump. Jam it in there, I guess, if you absolutely have to. You know what you can do? Bring a funnel. Why not? Poop right into the funnel.
Can we get this going?
It's a good idea.
We still got the news to do.
What about your news? Who cares about your news, okay? We're talking about something that could save their life.
Well?
If they're out on an adventure.
They're going to save their life.
Yeah, how do you know?
They're just going to be thankful that they know how to shit in a tube.
Yeah, they will be very thankful, Jay. Very thankful. I get people that come up to me on the street.
I want to see an infomercial for the fucking poop tube.
That's it. It's done. We're going to make one. When we make it, when we finish the poop tube, we're making one.
All right.
That's it. I'm done with the poop tube now.
That's it?
You've rushed me through it.
Oh, my God.
Thank you for rushing me, Jay. Now, Dave, that's it.
It's 19 minutes.
I could have gone
on. It was 19 minutes.
That's 19 minutes. It could have been 25 minutes of life-saving material there, Jay.
Well, I'm sorry.
What do you got in the news?
Wow.
Jesus.
Wow. We have to go to a break first.
Oh. I knew that.
Yeah. We'll be back after this. Oh, hey. I got to stop one.
Oh, yeah. Still not on break.
Yeah.
We're going to it. Any day now. Any day now here.
I hate you.
Jay figures out.
Confessions of a Potentially Perfect Parent, brought to you by AdoptUsKids.org.
I might look like an adult, like a person who could possibly be a parent, but I have no idea how to talk like one. And everyone knows that if you want to be a parent, you have to sound good when you say things like, "Don't make me turn this car around," or "Because I said so," or "Don't make me come back there." I don't even really know what those things mean, but I know that I actually believed my parents when they said them to me. How did they manage to sound so convincing? Here we go. "Don't make me come back there." Ugh, no, that's not tough enough at all. Kids can sense weakness. "Don't make me come back there." Ooh, yeah, that's better. In fact, that kind of sounded like my dad. Weird.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to listen to you practice your dad voice. Call 1-888-200-4005 or visit AdoptUsKids.org for more information. This message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
I'm Ellie the Mammoth, and my friend Sid the Sloth knows what being a great parent is all about.
I love kids.
It starts with believing you can do it.
I'm responsible, loving, nurturing.
You've got to set a good example.
Hey, no biting. Uh-uh.
And give a whole lot of love.
I love you so much.
And you'll get a whole lot back, too. The rest? Well, that's up to you. Remember, you don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Visit AdoptUsKids.org for more information. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
Let me drive.
How do you know when it's time to give up the keys? When your dog grabs your keys from your lap and your lap is on the floor. Yep, it's Jeff Foxworthy for Rad saying, when you party, be sure to designate before you celebrate. It won't make it home
alive. Let me drive. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Please don't drink and drive. It's not fun.
Well, I was going to do the news. I don't know.
We're going to make it up.
No, we're not going to make it up. We got other things. We got other things we can talk about.
I have news.
What?
My car is dead.
Great.
It is dead. The silver bullet is dead. Folks, Jesus, I need your help. What the hell do I do to get this damn thing working again? It is literally dead. No power. Now it had power. Now it has no power.
So we're gonna just disregard the news this week.
Other than that news.
Other than that news.
Silver bullet.
Dead.
Dead.
D-E-D. Like Michael Jackson.
Like Michael Jackson. Dead.
Again, I want to thank Larry G. Jones for being here. Yay!
When did he show up?
Like an hour ago.
Oh, was it really?
Yeah, we had a great time.
Yeah, I don't remember. I'm sure he was nice, though.
Coming up on the next Rockin' Comedy Show.
What? Sorry. I'm cleaning my mic. It was dirty.
Coming up on the next Rockin' Comedy Show, Jay White
check,
is going to be here.
Do I sound better now?
You're working fine.
I'm just checking.
Next Rockin' Comedy Show, Jay White's going to be here. He performs over at the Riviera as Neil Diamond.
He, you know, I figured out what other song he does.
What?
I figured out what other song he does. He does the song, America, fuck yeah.
No, he doesn't do that.
That's not him?
No.
Are you sure?
No.
I'm pretty sure that's him.
No, it's Neil Diamond, America's songwriter. He, you know, that's not him.
Oh, he does the song from AFE. America, America, this is you. From America's Funniest Home Videos.
No.
That's him, right?
No.
That's him.
It's not.
I'm proud to be an American.
No, that's not him either. This is the American song that you're probably referring to.
No, this is definitely not it.
I'm thinking it is.
I think it is. It sounds like Bruce Springsteen. Is that who this is?
No, his is Born in the USA.
Oh. Yeah.
It's got a long intro.
On a plane.
Oh.
Never looking back.
Who's this?
Again.
This is Neil Diamond.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Check the author.
I'm positive it's Neil Diamond.
Alright. Does he know that he did this song?
Yes.
Okay.
It's one of his bigger hits.
I'm coming to America. Did he do our national anthem too?
No.
In the land of
no.
the
free. But he does songs like
in
this.
In America.
This is like my mom's. This was my mom's all-time favorite 11 song.
11 times in the sky. Gonna get you real high.
Where it began.
If you head over to Facebook, to our Facebook, you will see a video that I've posted of Jay White performing as Neil Diamond. Also, pictures of our dune buggy experience.
Fucking awesome,
dude. That was fun.
I had such a blast. I thought I bought that thing so many times.
Every time we went down one that was extremely steep, I was like, remember, we break it, we buy.
Yeah, dude, that would have been so bad. Actually, it would have been, you broke it, Mike bought it, because it was all under my car.
Yeah, that's right. But anyway, Jay White's going to be here next week as, you know, talking to us. He's got some things in the work for Neil Diamond, but he also performs at the Riviera as Neil Diamond. It's an awesome, awesome show. One of the things that I found very interesting about Neil Diamond and growing up with the music of Neil Diamond, because my mom was such a fan of his music, I went into a used record store and I found this album, and a Neil Diamond album. I brought it home and I told my mom I was pretty convinced that Neil Diamond had to have smoked pot. And she said, never. I said, Mom, the name of this album is called Velvet Gloves and Spit.
What right? the hell?
Yeah, come on. Neil Diamond's not known for titles like that. Something's going on.
Yeah, that's really weird.
On the album Velvet Gloves and Spit, there's a very interesting song called the Pot Smoker Song. And the song is unique because he's very upbeat. He's like, la, la, pot, pot, gotta smoke pot. He's like, he's really happy. But then you hear, it's like one of those old films you used to watch in school. The drug,
yeah,
and you hear, and it's like a documentary of people going.
It started off with weed.
Yeah, it started off, I was drinking, I was going to parties, I was drinking out of red cups. I was like, yeah. You know, and this would be, here's a little clip of the Pot Smoker song. He's all upbeat. And then how quickly it brings you down. Like, because you're all depressed when you hear the song about these people. So listen to this guy.
I started when I was 13, and I had saw some people smoking pot, and I bought
bought myself a nickel bag. And I went behind my building and sat on a bench all by myself. And I smoked that bag, you know, until I finally got high. But I started with pot because I was curious. And at that time, I was having problems with my family. I remember on one trip, I was at a party, and I got very sick from speed, from meth. And I used to shoot it in my spine. I used to shoot it in my spine. And I had too much. I was building a big thing up over.
Now here comes Neil Diamond to bring it back around, make it happy again. Here it comes.
I tried to commit suicide.
La la la, pot, give me some pot. Forget what you are, you can be what you're not.
But I wasn't fully convinced after that song that Neil Diamond. I'm not accusing him of smoking pot. Maybe he didn't. Maybe he's just a really creative songwriter.
Yeah.
But he wrote a song. I think this one actually came before the nice little lovely pot song, as it's called. This particular song is about a dessert. It's like an ice cream. And you have to eat it with gloves or your hands will turn green. and it's called Porcupine Pie. And this, I was pretty convinced, drugs or heavy drinking had to have been involved.
Something was definitely. Yeah,
I immediately knew something was peculiar.
Porcupine Pie, Porcupine Pie, Porcupine Pie. Vanilla soup. Double scoop, please. No, maybe I won't, maybe I won't, maybe I will. The tutti fruit.
Tutti
with fruity blue cheese. Ah, but porcupine fat, porcupine fat, porcupine fat. Don't let it get on your jeans. With gloves, or your hands will turn green.
What the hell? I would like to know where that song came from.
Yeah, me too. Me too. But well, and these were the songs. And these were the songs when I just did strictly comedy on my show years ago. I would play these songs, and my mom's like, "Why do you gotta play those?" I go, "Cause they're funny."
Those are good.
He actually wrote a love song called "You're So Sweet." Horseflies keep hanging around your face.
You're so sweet. Horseflies keep hanging around your face. Kentucky moonshine. Could never take your place.
I'm going to ask Jay White when he comes in to perform. I'm going to be like, I need you to do, if you're so sweet, horseflies keep hanging around your face. You know them all, right, Jay? I want to hear that song. Now, could it get weirder than that? Oh, yes, it could. He did an album from out of Africa.
What?
And there was a song on there called "I Am the Lion."
Oh God!
Yeah. And they go something like this.
Papa Dinga, hey, 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 Papa Dinga.
Weird Al heard this and was like,
"That was a
plot."
And many poor men were killed. And that is why our house is built on the top of a hill.
Oh, yes, this is the guy that brought us huge hits like Song, Song, Blues, Sweet Caroline, and he wrote songs like that.
Wow. Does he still make music?
Yes, he does.
Or is he dead?
No, he just saw him in January, the MGM Grand. It was awesome.
Jay White? I know no, he's alive.
No.
I'm talking about...
No, Neil Diamond. Neil Diamond, I saw last January.
Yeah.
His new album.
A new album.
Yeah, he's got a new album out. Doing very well.
Yeah? How old is he, like...
90?
Yeah.
I don't know. He's in his 60s, I believe.
Really? 60,
yeah.
My dad's 63.
So, we're going to have some fun with Jay White next week. We'll talk to him about the obscurity songs of Neil Diamond.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we'll see if he'll eat nachos with us.
Now, a friend of mine, actually, who's been on the show several times, is performing now Saturday nights at the Brand Steakhouse.
Bam! Bam!
Her name is Sharon Paquette. And this girl is...
What?
Sharon Paquette.
Sharon Baggett?
No.
Is her name Sharon Baggett?
It's Paquette.
What is?
Her last name. Her name is Sharon Paquette.
Yeah, what about her, Jay?
Well, other than that, she likes to drink Jaeger and she's smoking hot. She can freaking sing.
I wasn't digging.
You don't even remember her.
Who?
Sharon Paquette.
Who's that?
That's what I'm talking about.
You mean Sharon Baggett?
Anyway, she performs at the Brand Steakhouse on Saturdays at the Monte Carlo. And I'm going to get her to come in with Jay White just to see if we can get her to sing You Don't Bring Me Flowers with him. I think it would be funny because this is her and she can sing. This chick knows how to sing.
Maybe she could do like...
Recently just voted one of the top five local performers in Las Vegas.
Really like your smile.
Why, thank you.
Think I'll stay for a while.
Only if you pay me.
How did I get to your room?
Oh,
I think
it's
too soon. Something here we both know. Too obvious to ignore. One night stand just won't do. I really like you. Wasn't expecting this. Fire in your kiss. I'm going home right now. I won't sleep tonight. So I want to.
But the amazing thing, and I don't think I've ever played it on the show, about Sharon Paquette is this chick can sing some serious freaking opera.
You know who else can sing opera? That Phantom guy.
Yeah. He definitely can.
We should get the Phantom on the show.
I think that would actually be awesome to interview people from Phantom of the Opera. That show's pretty badass.
No, the Phantom.
The Phantom himself?
Yeah.
The guy that just plays the Phantom?
No, the Phantom.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, we should get him. The Phantom.
That doesn't make any sense.
Let's get him.
He's stupid.
He's got to have a cell phone. It's new age, right?
Right.
Let's get the Phantom.
Oh.
Who's this?
This is Sharon Paquette.
Who's that?
That's a girl oh my god, I'm gonna freaking kill you.
She looks familiar.
Because she's at the Brand Steakhouse where we work every Saturday.
No, that's Sharon Baggett.
That's stupid.
I'm pretty sure.
Anyway, this is Sharon doing some serious opera. Check this out.
Versus what, like not serious opera?
Because nobody really can, has heard her sing opera before. Shut up.
When does she start singing?
She's singing now. Oh. Okay. So that's pretty awesome.
Yeah, that's really cool.
That's awesome.
Sarah McLachlan can do really good opera, too, actually.
Yeah. Anyway, so she's going to be here next week, Jay White.
That'll be exciting.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome. She hasn't been on the show since Christmas of last year, where I think she got a little scared.
I'm gonna ask her if her real name is actually Baguette.
It's not Baguette. It's Paquette.
Maybe she misspelt it.
Yeah, that's all she needs.
It happens. People make mistakes. I don't blame her for it. I'm not mad at her.
Right.
You know?
It's the Rockin' Comedy Show. If you want to email me, it's crazyj@comic.com. You can find me online at myspace.com/crazyj13.
If you want to email me, don't.
Like I said, if you email him, you never know what the response is going to be.
No. But you can find me on Facebook as Junk McGee. You can find me on MySpace as Don't Tase Me, Bro.
That's right.
And you can find me email... I hurt my spleen at yahoo.com.
And remember, you can check out the show through iTunes. You can check it out through rockandcomedyshow.com. Mm-hmm. Download it. Listen to it, the pop-up player. However you want to do it, just listen to it. Let us know what you think. We have a lot
and
of
good... And if you're pregnant and you have kids, you can just put some headphones to like your vagina and let your baby listen.
Vagina.
You know? Start them early. You know? Maybe up to the belly button. Maybe that's where their ears are. I don't know.
You're not making any sense.
I'm not really sure where the baby's
ears
are.
You're not making any sense.
Babies like music, like they listen to Beethoven, right? And it makes them smarter. Just imagine what we could do to a baby who's not born yet.
Oh, we did have another celebrity death this week. I just heard
Who?
About it on the news today.
Who? Oh, Alec Baldwin.
Nope. Alec Baldwin.
No?
No. The Taco Bell dog. Yeah, she passed.
Walter Cronkite?
She passed away, the Taco Bell dog.
No way.
Yeah, she just passed away. She was 12 years old.
Wow, that's actually not very old for a young dog.
She wasn't young, she was 12.
Oh, that's, yeah.
So, yeah, yeah, the Taco Bell dog passed.
That sucks.
Carlos Alice Rocky, he's a stand-up comedian. He's also in Reno 911. He is the voice of the Taco Bell dog. And when I used to work at the Improv in California, he did an interview on my show shortly after Taco Bell dumped the dog. And he came on the show as the Taco Bell dog. And I go, and I have to dig the interview up, but it's, I asked him, I go, well, what are you going to do now? I'm going to get a job at Del Taco. And yeah, it was fun. So, yeah, I just heard that on the news that the Taco Bell dog, Chihuahua, passed away.
She'll probably make good, like, a carne asada or something.
Yeah.
They'll do something good with her, I'm sure. Hats off to you, dog.
Chalupa.
Chalupa, yeah.
Put it in a chalupa.
Well, you know what? I remember when that dog was super famous. Godzilla, the movie Godzilla was coming out. That's right. And there was a whole thing about the dog and Godzilla.
I'm going to need a bigger box.
Yeah.
Speaking of commercials, there are two commercials on TV that are currently running right now that I fucking hate. They drive me crazy. One of them is this commercial for Restasis. And it's like a prescription eye drop. And the reason it drives me crazy is the woman that is supposedly the patient. And the doctor's like, oh, I'm going to subscribe to you some Restasis. And then, like, she's like, the patient being stupid is like, you seem to know a lot about it. Well, duh, bitch, I'm a fucking doctor. But that's not what she said. She goes, well, that's because I've been using it for 2 years. Like, what?
What?
Why would you ask that? You really seem to know a lot about it. I'm a fucking doctor.
I'm supposed to. It's my job.
The commercial, I see the commercial come on. I just mute it or change the channel. I can't stand this commercial. The second commercial that drives me crazy is for the Dish Network, and it's this freaking bitch and her family, and she's acting like she's uncovered the world's biggest secret about Dish Network, and it's cheaper TV. Why pay more for the same TV?
You know what else one I don't like is the one for the 5-Hour Energy. The guy's walking out of the store with a Monster in his hands, like, hey, would you drink 20 teaspoons of sugar? The guy's like, well, no, that's gross. He's like, well, that's what you're doing with that energy drink. You have this 5-Hour Energy, and at the end of the thing, he's all, oh, I'll just take the 5-Hour Energy. You're like, what? Come on. Nobody just throws away an energy drink. You know you drink that, bitch, before you shot that 5-Hour Energy.
Yeah, those two commercials right now just try. Oh, you seem to know an awful lot about it. I'm a doctor!
Yeah. I'm a doctor!
So, next week, Jay White's going to be here. I promise to have the news.
Sure.
I don't know what happened to it. It's around here somewhere. Somebody came in here, cleaned, and downloaded some Sam Elliott or Elliott whatever.
It was a fucking wombat, dude.
It might be the chupacabra.
Could have been.
I'm not quite sure what's going on.
I don't know how he would have got past that hippopotamus.
But anyway, that's gonna do it for this edition of the Rockin' Comedy Show.
We love you all like family, but fuck off.
And we're gonna leave you with Sharon Paquette.
Turned up the radio. look back.